who are still traveling in the morning to be able to join the meeting and to make sure that you know, all of us are here, especially on the issues that are before the committee today, which will definitely require that all members of the committee are here so that we are able to navigate together to find a solution to the issues that are before the committee. So it was on those basis that that we agreed that the meeting can then take place later at 10 o'clock. Let me therefore take this opportunity, colleagues, to welcome members back from recess, having had a long break to interact with the public. I'm going to just order. When I start the meeting, I don't want to see up and downs and all of that. Can we just make sure that we finish with the up and downs, please, so that we can then begin? Okay. From Calif, you can come in. You can come in before I... Morning,
sir.
Morning.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I can hear you that some of the members requested the meeting must be postponed to 10 o'clock, but Tina, we're here for 9:30, and there was no communication, so that's why you were wondering what was happening. So I'm saying to in future, just the SMS on Nyanyanyana to say colleagues, it's no longer 9:30, it's 10 o'clock.
Instructions were given that it means that someone failed to do that. People that deal with communication of the committee and making sure that they send messages. The chair does not send messages, but those who are responsible would have to account. I'm going to ask them to give me a report why they did not do what I expected them to do. I think the point is made that in the future we will have to communicate more. On that note, colleagues, we then having the program that is before us this morning. Of the meeting this morning, colleagues, will intend the following. We'll get a briefing by Minister of Home Affairs, Acting Director General, and members of the Board of Directors on the downtime, which happened on Home Affairs on the 10th August, in all Home Affairs offices. Now this is a problem that is not new. It's happening almost all the time. The Home Affairs offices, systems are down. All the time, systems are down. And therefore, it means that the implication is that we are not able to provide services to the public as a state. We are not able to provide lab service to members of the public as government. So this is a matter that we thought that it needs to be addressed urgently today, this morning. And you see that in our midst today, we have invited the portfolio committee of the telecommunications in the National Assembly. We have invited the Department of Home Affairs, which was led by the Deputy Minister, with an apology from the Minister of Home Affairs due to other engagement, but the greatest apology for us is the Deputy Minister, Sean Carter. We have the Department of Home Affairs led by, we'll get to know that part because it's not been done formally. We'll get to know what's happening because I don't see a plane here. We will realize that he has now resigned. It's our first committee meeting that will get the detail of such a resignation and all of that, and who's now in charge. I see that we have the CEO of CETA. And board members of CETA, which will introduce themselves. We invited the Minister of Telecommunications, Minister Kone, and I understand that it was short notice. We were not able to secure him, but they have sent someone at the level of the Chief Director from Telecommunications, who's here and himself when he gets to that point. Now, that's going to be the first item in the agenda. The second item will be briefed by the department on the fourth quarter report. It's now back to our normal engagement on the fourth quarter, meaning that after the engagement around the downtime, we'll then allow those who are here, who have been invited, to leave, and then we'll then proceed with the fourth quarter report. The last item will be the progress report on the sourcing of information for the Gupta neutralization, which we have to deal with as a matter of agents too, and find solution and close the matter. Because the neutral supplies are done now. It's an area that I'll definitely be happy that. Sort of like a briefing, I think the research together with legal services, so Parliament, they have done some work with the document that has been circulated. Both with the department, fourth quarter report, the document has been circulated for members' input, and I know that the research unit of Parliament has already done some work around the fourth quarter, and sort of the identified that in sense to members of the committee. So on that note, therefore, colleagues, next to me here on my right, I'm seated with the J.L. Mashangu, the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Telecommunications, the friend, the colleague, the comrade that we've been together in Parliament, I think, for many years. That is why when issues of this nature happen, did not waste time, but to come and join us so that together we can work together to try and find a solution to the problem that is facing our government to deliver the people. If you look at the objective of the Department of Home Affairs to provide reliable information services and make sure that everyone has documents, IT, migration, and all of that. But when you don't have reliable systems, you're not going to be able to deliver on that. So what I'll then do, I'm going to allow members to introduce themselves quickly, and then we'll then come to the department, which it's important that the DM is here, will then introduce the officials that are here from the department, and then CETA will do the same, and then from telecommunication, will then get the same. Can we do that exercise as quickly as possible? I'm going to start on my right, generally. But the other two, they are fine. It's other two, you don't have to, because they're part of the furniture of the committee. You can come in, Rijeng.
My name is Jabu Mashangu, the chair of the committee, Telecoms and Postal Services.
Yes, we do that. Can we get members from the telecom and postal services just to introduce themselves?
My name is Nokuzola Ndongeni, member of telecommunications.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Telecommunications.
Okay. Thank you very much, ma'am.
Over here, Chair. Thank you. Cameron McKenzie, telecommunications.
Thank you very much.
Marianne Shin from the Telecoms Committee.
Thank you very much. Okay. My name is Lamani Chauke, the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs. And the members of Home Affairs, can you introduce yourselves?
My name is Donald Kumede, the whip of the ANC. Thanks.
Mantle Dambuza, member of the committee.
Maisela Gigana, member of the committee.
Dineo Raputi, member of Home Affairs Committee.
Hanif Hussain, member of Home Affairs Committee.
Archibald Friedland, member of the Home Affairs Committee.
Klengi Mkalipi, member of Home Affairs Portfolio Committee.
Can we then get to the department for purpose of record again? We'll start with yourself, DM.
Thank you very much. My name is Fatima Chohan. I am the Deputy Minister of Home Affairs.
Thank you very much. I thought that was the first introduction.
Well, I was hoping to do two things, Chair, because this is the first time I have appeared before the committee when you have been chairing.
Oh, yeah.
So we wish to extend our congratulations to you. But secondly, it gives me great pleasure to introduce our Acting Director General, Mr. Thulani Mabuso, who has replaced the Director General who, after 10 long years in the public service, has resigned and moved on to the private sector. So Mr. Mabuso is now our acting DG, but also still the DDG for IP. We then have DDG Mahaboko, who heads up our HR department. We have Acting DDG, Thomas Sigana, who heads up our civics unit. And then we have our CFO, who I think is known to the committee as well, Gordon Hollenby.
The rest of the officials, you have introduced yourself from Home Affairs? Okay, let's get seated. Home Affairs, are we done? Okay, can we do that quickly so that we don't waste much time? Officials that are here from Home Affairs.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Yolanda Tlatloke from Home Affairs.
What position are you, ma'am?
Acting Director, Monitoring and Evaluation.
Oh, thank you very much.
Good morning. My name is Agnes Apane from Home Affairs. I'm a director in the Office of the DG.
Good morning, my name is Riaz Musa. I'm a Deputy Director for Parliamentary Liaison and Cabinet Support from Home Office.
Good morning, my name is Samuel Mandiwana, Parliamentary Liaison Officer.
Morning, my name is Silva Ramawa, CFO for NEMISA entity of the Department of Telecommunication.
Can you repeat again?
My name is Silva Ramawa, I'm the CFO of NEMISA, which is an entity of DTPS. Telecommunication Department.
Okay.
Morning, my name is Nadim Kalipi, also from NEMISA.
NEMISA. Okay, thank you very much, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. NEMISA, is that NEMISA? NEMISA.
NEMISA.
Okay.
NEMISA. Mkalipi, yes.
Now I can see that it's captured. That's why it's not. It is really captured. Okay.
Okay.
Sorry. My name is Walter Clausen. I'm chairperson of the board of NEMISA.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members. Tanya Abrahams, PLO for CETA.
Morning. My name is Rendani Museta. I'm the Chief Director within the Department of Telecommunication and Postal Services, accompanied by my acting Director General. He's sitting there. I think he'll introduce himself. He came just after. Thanks.
So can I agree that the Director General must sit here? He must sit here where we can see you are the accounting officer. Yeah. No, you are the accounting officer. It's not called HQ. No, sit there, yeah. Okay. You are the accounting officer. The way they're acting, just leave it for now. You are the accounting officer. You take responsibility, and whatever that the committee recommends today here, it lies with you. I thought you were introduced. Okay, you can, please.
Morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Omega Shalembe. I am the acting DG in the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services. For this week, whilst our DG is doing international duty, I had otherwise tendered an apology for this meeting because we had the Telecommunications and Postal Services Portfolio Committee, which has now, through the chairperson, allowed that we join this meeting as well. Thank you.
Yeah, well, if you did not come with us, we're going to issue out summons to bring you here. We are capable of doing that, by the way. But I'm happy that colleagues were able to respond in time. I know it was short notice. And thank you very much again, Ms. Abrams, for your, response over the weekend. In fact, this matter was coordinated over the weekend on a Sunday, Friday and Sunday, and then communicated to the relevant the authorities of CETA, which they responded very well. And I really want to applaud you. That is a clear demonstration of understanding the role of Parliament when it comes to oversight and accountability. Because if we don't do this thing, Parliament will fail. Even yourself will fail because we'll not be able to deliver what we're supposed to do on behalf of our people. Parliament represents the very same people that go and queue at Home Affairs every day. They wake up at 4 o'clock, they go to Home Affairs, they want birth certificate, they don't get it, they spend money which they don't have, to travel up and down. And fenders of people had to go to Potchefstroom, which is a 50 rand ticket to go. A return is 100 rand. You go there, you don't get your birth certificate, you come back again. Unemployment, there's nothing there of industry that people can say we have money. So these are issues of the most vulnerable people that are going through. So without really waste of time, I think in principle we have adopted the agenda as it stands. Is there anyone who wants to make any addition into the agenda for now? If not, therefore, let us therefore proceed, colleagues, members and DM, that we felt that it's important that this Portfolio Committee of Home Affairs calls the department, both Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services, together to Home Affairs, to come and explain this downtime. This is a new term, in fact, I'm trying to adjust and understand it very well. Downtime. But my understanding of it is that failure of systems of IT or Home Affairs to provide services to the people. We are not able to issue birth certificate. We are not able to do anything, in fact, on Friday last week. That's the reason that we decided that let's invite these two departments to come and explain. We will receive the apology of Minister Gwele, who is not going to be with us. Honorable Kenya from the ANC, Nisi from the ANC and Mkonto from the IFP, they have apologized, so they're not here. So I want us to try find an understanding and find a way in which these things must not happen again. That's why we're here.
I know that CETA has appeared in 2016 on these issues of downtime, and they made a commitment that they will work hard to make sure that this thing does not happen again. 2017 again they appeared before this committee, and they made the very same commitments again that in fact they are advancing, they are happy that these things would not happen again. Now it has happened again on Friday the 10th, meaning that the entire, well, I don't know other departments that you are in charge of, but the entire Department of Home Affairs nationally, systems were down, nothing was working. Eddie, just bringing my attention that the people have not introduced themselves. Okay. Who are these people that have not introduced themselves?
I'm Nogusa Ahrens, the board member of CETA.
Okay. I take it that I've already greeted you. I'm sorry. Okay.
My name is Tuan Happy. I'm the CEO of CETA.
No, thank you very much. Thank you very much. So I'm saying, therefore, that we then have a responsibility as parliament to call for accountability when such happens. That's the work of Parliament, and whatever that we are doing here will be reported to the National Assembly. We'll have to prepare a report that must go to the National Assembly that represents the people of this country about our engagement and the commitment that we have made. But please, frankly, you need to talk to us where there are problems. You must be able to share with us openly, without fear, without favor, to tell us exactly what is the problem. We're not running a banana republic where systems just go off like robots. It can't be. You know, Home Affairs is the nerve of this country. The security of this country lies with Home Affairs. The well-being of this country depend on efficient Home Affairs. So if this Home Affairs is non-functional, what does it mean to birth certificate? What does it mean to those who are traveling? What does it mean to marriage, those who are getting married today? They have to postpone the dates for another day because Home Affairs does not provide the service. So it covers a lot of these issues. Death certificate, imagine on death certificate that your insurances and all of that deal with that on a daily basis. This is what Home Affairs does. So I'm happy that I see this commitment this morning. Word from my colleague in the National Assembly, Telecommunications, and the response of the department and CETA and other what's called a stakeholders that are here with us today. Now, what we're going to do, we are going to request the department to talk to us on that issue. Then the second input will receive it from CETA. Once you have done that exercise, we'll then allow members of the committee to make questions, clarities, and we must deal with the way forward. It cannot be a meeting that we just meet for the sake of meeting. We must have a very strong way forward as to what must then happen moving forward. These things have been happening, not once, in fact, many times. How do we run a country of systems that, you know, everywhere you travel in the world, South Africa is the best, but we're just sliding down every day, going down, every day, because of failure of those that we have been trusted to provide service to our people, and we should pay them good salaries, by the way. They are not able to deliver that service to our people. The system is about people. You know. So that's what we are going to do this morning. I don't want to go back to your commitments that you have made earlier, but I did cite that earlier, that you have made a number of commitments around the issue of making sure that this thing does not happen again. You know. So we want to get to the bottom of this problem and what is the problem. So on that note, I'll then give a the only executive authority that is with us here, Deputy Minister, to talk to us and then tell us exactly what are the issues, and then we'll then give the next person to speak. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. Suffice to say that we obviously are at the tail end of the systems not functioning well enough for our business processes to continue. But we have, DJ has prepared a few notes with regard to our experiences when things go wrong, which is not going to necessarily shed too much of light as to what went wrong. I think that is something for CETA to address. But I'll hand over to the acting DG at this stage just to fill members in on our experiences.
No, thank you very much, Chair and members. What we have done after the outage on Friday, so we sat with the team just over the weekend to look at what transpired on Friday and be able to prepare some form of a report, because I think it's important for even for the purposes of audit that we have a sense of what transpired. So, Chair, on Friday morning, at around 7 in the morning, we received a report that there was an outage. According to CETA, it was an outage that happened at the, you know, at the core switch where the power was lost around 2 in the morning. And obviously that resulted into the outage of certain critical services, which I've listed in this particular report. This included all the transversal systems that we use. This is the BAS reports, which is our basic accounting report that system that we use, and the PESAL. And also there was a outage on the mainframe used at the ports of entry, and then the live capture for smart cards, and also live capture for birth, marriages, and deaths, the email system, our website, the National Population Register, also the harness, which is used for storing of the fingerprints and the photos. So when the generator power came back at around 8, we were told on a limited power, the servers that carry live capture at CETA, which is called minus 2, had some power, and then our team started our live capture system at around 8:30. But the services were also limited in that live capture environment. Between that particular time from 8:30 till about 9:30, when the whole live capture was up. But the biggest issue is that because we needed to have the harness, which is the fingerprint database, running, so it was quite difficult for us then to service clients. So, which I think I'm just going to explain in the next paragraph, which says that even though the live capture system was up, but the mainframe system were not up. So, and then when we talk about the mainframe systems, as I've said, we talk about systems that has the National Population Register and the other transversal systems. So then thereafter in the afternoon, CETA confirmed that the 100% of power at about 1:30 was restored, and then they were also helping us now to bring up our services. At about 15:20,
Chair. It seems as all of us, we don't have this document. This report.
No, it's not this one, Chair. We finalize this report this morning.
Can it be photocopied and distributed to the members?
Okay.
You have access to do that while you are still present.
I can give the...
Email it, meantime it will be photocopied.
It's very important to read it from the papers, because here it is fast.
Members, can we try use our screens now, and then we can then note the Yes, the document will be made right
here.
This
is
going to wait for the briefing.
Thank you,
Chair. Yeah, so let's use the screen that are here. I would have a glasses. You don't want to use
the computer. Just about that document that the one that is going to be written on that. Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
No.
You can proceed.
Yes.
Take into account that the members don't have the document, so as much as you may want to measure things.
Okay. No, thanks, Chair. So I've sent it through the document. So, so then the as I said, CETA had confirmed that there was the municipal power was restored around about lunchtime, and at around about 15:20, the mainframe systems then came back. We started receiving our emails. The NPR was back, and then the offices were now able to issue birth certificates and other documents that are NPR centered. But just maybe to also indicate that during the time when there was an outage, Chair, we took an executive decision that passports can be issued manually, those that were in the offices, for people who were in the office to collect their passport. So I thought the committee must just note that. So then in the evening, so right about 17:30, all this, our systems of Home Affairs were now functional because even the harness was restored. So the information I received from CETA at that time was that one UPS was down, that is why there was a limited power, and the two generators were also faulty, so they were running on one generator and one UPS, but were able to function at the time. So based on that, as Home Affairs, our view is that, and based on the interviews also we conducted with both CETA and DHA officials, it would seem that the power failure on the ICT infrastructure was due to the following. One, that the generator did not automatically switch on as it was supposed to, despite the recent power maintenance, because CETA had actually a few years back conducted the power maintenance at that time. And also that as a result of the UPS system, it could not power up the equipment beyond 7 o'clock to allow any data center to operate and the building maintenance staff to arrive on time to either shut down the systems or manually power the generator. Because what happened here is that when the municipal power went off, so obviously the UPS carries the load and then it pushes the power to the systems. So the UPS was supposed at the time when it was carrying the data centers powered by the generator. So the generator did not kick in. That's the report I got. And therefore that the UPS, the batteries, they ran up until they ran out of power. So then the system, our systems were abruptly shut down. And the obvious staff arrived on time, maybe if they picked it up early hours of the morning, they could have, you know, gracefully shut down the equipment so that it doesn't get damaged. So furthermore, I think this incident obviously brings into questions, you know, some of the issues relating to regular and scheduled preventative maintenance on the CETA data center facilities, and I think maybe the colleagues will explain that when they make their presentation. But also, I think we often view that there seem to be a lack of monitoring and alerting systems, or the early warning system was installed in order to monitor and alert us via different mechanisms to say that, you know, we have had a power outage at a particular environment, so that we are able to take the steps. I mean, for example, if that notification was received in the early hours at about 2 in the morning, we could have had some intervention. So, but again, CETA might talk to that particular issue. Because we do believe that we needed a 24-hour operation center, because some of our ports of entry foreign missions, for an example, they operate in different time zones, so therefore they get impacted if we don't get that particular support. So, Chair, we, as I indicated earlier, that when the municipal power was restored in the afternoon, the fact that the mainframe system could only be brought back after 2 hours later, after CETA confirmed 100 power restoration, suggests that obviously the generator in question does not have the capacity to power up all the ICT equipment at CETA Centurion. So it's something I think that the colleagues might need to look at. But in terms of the way forward, we, as Home Affairs, obviously, we want to have a 99.9 uptime for all our systems because of the issues that I think the Chair alluded to. But what is critical for us is the adverse impact, not only on the reputation of the department, but also this may lead to repeat visits by the client, thus resulting in the wasted time and money, and we cannot quantify actually the amount of money that people lost on that particular day. But as you have indicated, I think the classical example you have made with Potchefstroom and Fenders Open, if one person actually were to travel. So if you were to quantify that, it also causes a lot of brand damage to the Department of Home Affairs because we're trying to build a brand that is reputable, but I think these incidences do not help us. So, as we're saying then, that unfortunately when services are down, especially due to the faults of third parties or the support that we get from CETA, Home Affairs obviously is confronted with the situation because as we modernize, we do not want to keep on running dual systems because then what it defeats the purpose of trying to have modern systems to with quicker turnaround time. So we cannot turn to paper when systems are down. So we need a sustainable solution, therefore, which has to be found in order to secure continuous power and the provision of Home Affairs systems. The department is currently embarking on a program to create a resilient systems system hosting environments, which is currently we're building a Tier 3 data center in our own PVR building in Pretoria, where we host our data centers. In a Tier 3 data environment, every major component, such as air conditioning, uninterrupted power supply, generator, are duplicated to allow for continuity. So that's something that we are currently doing to ensure that we mitigate. Because remember, Chair, we said we are building a new biometric system which will be hosted, at the Telkom data center, but also we're going to build another one at our new corporation building. So that's what we are trying to do moving forward to ensure that we have a resilient system that can be able to deal with the challenges that we're faced with. Then, Chair, just to fast track to Monday, then, which was yesterday, we also had another loss of network connectivity in the morning. After having confirmed to the citizens that our offices are back online, the CETA network backbone comprising of the links to telecommunication carrier companies had its services interrupted again due to faulty carrier network equipment belonging to Broadband Infraco. So it took about 30 minutes for the technicians from Broadback in Franco to arrive at the CETA environment. But after that, the issue was resolved after about 19 minutes. The technicians tried to troubleshoot, and then they did a diagnosis of the problem, and then they resolved that after 90 minutes. So we again lost production time in the Department of Home Affairs as of yesterday. So the only way forward for Home Affairs, obviously, to be guaranteed uptime and availability of ICT services, it includes, obviously, the construction of Tier 3 data centers at our PVR building, but also where we're going to be hosting the data center for ABIS, which, obviously, we are working with CETA on that particular project. So, Chair, that's in summary the incident of the 10th and then the incident of the 15th, which was yesterday. Thank you very much.
Maybe you may want to share with us, at the level of the executive, is there an interest? Both your ministers of communication and the minister of, telecommunication and the minister of Home Affairs, is there any engagement around this issue? Because it seems to be a problem that has been there for some time. I don't hear that political authority speaking. Hence, the invite today was meant specifically to hear from the executive what exactly is it that they're doing to alleviate this problem. Is there anything, Diane, is there anything you can talk to us about?
Well, suffice to say that there have been several engagements, both bilaterally, but also you may not know chairs, a new chairperson, there have been several engagements here in the portfolio committee as well. The issue isn't about a lack of interest. I think it's a lack of resolution of problems. Acting DG says yesterday the problems were sorted out relatively quickly compared to previous times, etc. 90 minutes doesn't sound long for the kinds of difficulties that perhaps technicians at a technical level would have to deal with. But if you're a person standing in a queue and you've just about gotten to the building after 2-3 hours and you now find that the systems go down, I mean, it's incredibly stressful. But you can imagine that, you know, one of my delegated functions in the department is the Motapile initiative. And it's an initiative that aims to improve the client's experience in our front office. Our officials have been trained and retrained. Our offices have been reorganized to ensure maximum efficiencies and better customer experiences. We've spent a lot of money on this initiative. But when you are faced with a client in front of you and your system's not working, there's nothing you can do to express the values of Motapile, which is really about leadership, except to just apologize. And the stress that our officials then face as professional people, their task is ordinarily not an easy one. It's not easy to work in home affairs because we have a huge lack of resources. We operate with minimum staff, actually. And a lot of the reports that you get really and a lot of the positive things that happen in home affairs are due to the rank and file officials who go over and above the call of duty in many instances. Many of them open on a Saturday on a weekend when these systems go down during the week just to service people, just to ensure that the targets are met. And they do that without any overtime. They do that with just sacrificing their own family time. And so these are the real life problems that we experience. This is the kind of environment that we subject our officials to. It's really very thankless. So it's not as if there is a lack of interest. It's a matter that we are extremely concerned about, Chairperson. We may not say so publicly because we have to collaborate. We have to be able to find mutual solutions to these problems. We are only here today and we're only speaking in public today because you've asked us to, and for no other reason. But the issue is not going to be solved if we scream in public at each other. I think the issue has to be resolved through mutual efforts and through all of us putting our best foot forward.
No. Maybe what you must, before I leave you, you may want to get this clarity to your thing. Do we have some kind of a coordinating or some, how do you relate with CETA on a day-to-day basis? Is there some kind of a body that is there that deals with such challenges on a day-to-day basis?
No, Chair, but we meet regularly with the CEO.
How do you meet them? How often? Can be after 3 months, can be 6 months. Do you have a dedicated team that deals with such issues? Because these things have been recurring for quite some time, you know, and therefore it means that there must be some kind of an arrangement in place that monitors.
Yes. Now, Chair, let me explain. Last year, on the 16th of May, there was an agreement that we made with CETA on the issue of the Home Affairs Network, to an extent that CETA made a commitment that they're going to bring a third party to assist us, one, to redesign the architecture of our network, two, to perform the network capability assessment and see what are the remedial actions that we can put in place at this point in time while we are busy redesigning the whole network architecture. That has been done. The third party was appointed. We're meeting every Thursday with the CETA and Dimension Debt. We've got a tripartite agreement that we signed in May this year. and then that team is meeting and is producing very good reports now. We're beginning to see where the problems are. There are three areas where we have problems. One is the power issue. Most of the incidents that we picked up actually in the Department of Home Affairs relate to power. Just last month, in June, I think, if I just check the minutes, I just want to follow that. In June, the power incidents that were reported were about 487, mm-hmm. and then in July, there were 391. So we, through that mechanism, I think we're seeing some drop. And the second problem that we have is telecom data lines. Chair will recall that most of the telecom infrastructure is still also, copper-based, and obviously the theft of the telecom data line becomes a problem. There's an office, I think the social media office, which was a problem for us because every time telecom replaces the cables, they get stolen the following day in a different area or in the same area. So CETA tried to, for example, power that office through a microwave solution. The third problem that we have is what we call last mile to our offices, which is a service provided by other telcos, which again, so that we have an unstable, last mile. In most instances, you find that a particular office, I think, we'll cite an example with Ulundi. Ulundi was one of those offices that we had a problem with the last mile because of the telephone company, the telco that provides that line was quite unstable. So we have the likes of Vodacom, Nailtel, who provides the last mile to the offices because from the CETA core network, and then you have different telcos taking the connectivity to the offices. So the redesign, therefore, the architecture will deal with that particular issue. So which that redesign, actually, that new architecture, CETA did present it in the joint committee, I think, last year when we met to say this is the proposed architecture that we need to implement. So this the Dimension Data team is working with CETA now to develop that particular architecture for us to be able to resolve and mitigate these problems. So I must say that the issue of 99% uptime on our network is quite crucial because currently we're running passports and smart IDs on the live, on the modernized system. We are now bringing births, marriages and deaths into that modernized system. So we cannot afford not to have that 99.9 because, as you've highlighted, the issue, for example, of people who want to pay to burials, you cannot afford to say to a person we are down because every person, when they reach the office, when they want to bury, they must get a certificate as they arrive in the office. So it's something of that we have to ensure that there's commitment to that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Colleagues, I think let's note the Home Affairs questions or clarities. Can we give CETA now to talk to us? Start with the accounting authority, the board grant. That's the accounting authority. Then the CEO will speak after the accounting authority has begun.
Thank you very much, Chair. Deputy Minister, Honourable Members, I must say that we appreciate Chairperson giving us the time to come and explain because we were aware of the outages caused by the power failures on Friday last week, and we even issued a media release to explain that we did have genuine problems because it wasn't just a Department of Home Affairs problem, but it was also a CETA outage where our data center, the main data center in Centurion, got affected. And it so happened that when the power was brought up, one of the equipment got damaged, and that's why the power couldn't power that equipment, but it started running using just the batteries. And when the battery time, 72 hours, lapsed, they failed, and then we had the outage on Monday again. And we did prepare a presentation just to take you through because the executive team has informed us of what the issues were and would like to share that with you and together find a way forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. In your packs there are three presentations. The first one deals, the shorter one, that is the one on the screen, that deals with the two outages on Friday and then on Monday. Then the second presentation looks more broadly on the results of the assessment that the acting DJ has talked about, and presents a very worrying state of affairs of the current end-to-end infrastructure, which is probably reflective of also the state of affairs for the IT infrastructure in terms of provision of services for other departments as well. Then the third presentation deals with more operational data that has been collected over the last 3 months, May, June and July. That also highlights what the acting DJ just mentioned, the major sources of these outages. And which I would like to maybe go on to the first one and then maybe just present a sense of what the assessment has told us about. And then, because in that report there, then we give remedial actions, short term and then medium term as well. Must say at the outset, Chair, I would like to personally offer my sincerest apologies for those two outages there on behalf of the organization and on behalf of the members of the public that would have gone to the government offices and not received service.
You can't apologize on behalf of members of the public unless you want to apologize to the members of
the public. To the members of the public, yes.
Because members of the public, there will definitely be changes.
To the members of the public.
All right, that's fine.
Yeah. It was a catastrophic event that not only affected Home Affairs but affected all IT services of government. But that, of course, does not take away from the fact that the brunt of what people suffer from is based on their not being able to get services from the Department of Home Affairs. This is the document, the first one in the pack. Yes. No, not that one, sir. It's the one that is written, that was sent yesterday, yes. It's written the 13th.
The version on here is the
13th
of August and the 14th of
August. Okay. It's called CETA report on now. Okay. Thank you very much. Alright. Okay. The next page is talk about the content, the reason for the downtime, what mitigations we took to address the downtime, and what are we doing moving forward, which will then be provide entry into the second report. So indeed, the power systems around Centurion represents the hub of CETA services. That's our data center and our main switching center. There are at least four power systems that operate there. And as Acting DJ has said, that are tested regularly and were tested a few weeks before this outage. There's two grid power systems from Eskom and then provided to us through the City of Tshwane. That normally operate independent of each other. And then we have a generator system that is able to take care of all the power requirements of the data center and the switching center should the grid power systems fail. The generators there are all new and are under warranty, again based on the commitments that we've made here previously. Then there's a UPS system, a battery of UPS systems, that will typically operate in between should any of the grid power system and the generator system fail. The UPS system is not supposed to be the main carrier of the load. The UPS system is fed through a battery system that would normally be charged through the grid power or the generator system. And if the grid generator system and the grid power system fail for too long of a period, then your batteries can run flat, and then the entire plant then goes off. What happened on the in the early morning of the 10th is that both the grid power systems failed. The municipal systems failed. Something that is quite rare to happen. And then the generators kicked in, and people were notified. We had previously tried to engage with the city to say that should a grid power system fail for reasons other than load shedding, we should be informed. We did not receive that notification, but the generator system was working for some time. Then something catastrophic happened on the generator system. The fuel pump that feeds the generator with diesel bent completely. And then that kicked in the UPS system, which was then isolated from everything else and relied on batteries. Those batteries, and one of the batteries actually died as well. And so we're working at about 75% capacity on the batteries. And the batteries then started sending alarms and eventually went off. They started working they started sending alarms and working at low capacity, and we had to start the process of shutting down because now there's not enough power on the remaining batteries on the UPS system to take care of the power in the system, and more critically, to take care of the air conditioning system, because should the air conditioning system fail, then the entire plant then fails semi-permanently. So, in fact, we started shutting down some systems until the UPS system itself then failed. By that time, there were a number of technicians that were working on the power systems, and the fuel pump was replaced and was back online between 12 at midday and then 1 o'clock, and then thereafter we started building. Or we then had to use the generator system to then re-power the batteries of the UPS, just in case anything else happened there. And that's it. I mean, it took a little bit of time to repower the batteries. And we started then putting up the systems, as the acting DG has just mentioned. The municipal power came in just after 3 p.m. And it does take a long time for systems to come up once you have had a catastrophe like this, because it was not just the home affairs systems that went down. In fact, the entire IT plant of government was down. It's very rare that one has such a disaster where every backup that you have fails, and not for lack of maintenance, nor for lack of testing. We still are not sure what caused the fuel pump to burn. But in terms of remedial action, at least, we are going to intensify our discussions with the city so that we get better warnings. And it is possible for the city to inform us in a different way, given the type of load and the critical services that we carry. I'll go more on the technical side and then more also on the process side. Now on page 4, on the last page there, we are going to install additional fuel pumps on the generators that we have, and also keep emergency pumps for manual operation. Our systems, and I'm still investigating this, our notification systems did not work according to procedure because the generator, once it went down, the service provider who is who provides service under warranty, because these things are very, very new, they're still under warranty, the generator is under warranty, should have been called immediately. The person was not called until, as I mentioned, after 7 a.m. And that should have happened at least 3 hours earlier. And then the notification systems themselves, both to myself and also to affected people, stakeholders, did not work. The messages that I got were well after the systems had gone down. And that is should not happen, because I have a system that notifies me as soon as we have an indication of a serious fault going on. We are going to look at that in detail, Chair, and make sure that we hold people responsible accordingly. On Monday, what happened is on Friday, when the systems went up, then we had another catastrophe, which is there's a device that is used by Broadband Infraco. The switch of Broadband Infraco is serviced through a battery that is normally charged through the grid power or generator power. When the power went up on Friday, that device also burned. And two things did not happen there. There was no, as Infraco has admitted to us, they did not have an automatic switch over to a separate device. That would then have kept the grid power moving on and charging the battery. Nor did they have a notification system to say that the original device is also bent or was not operational. So their switch, which is now just affecting the network, but still has the same effect on services, their switch ran on battery for the remainder of Saturday and Sunday, and then on Monday, then the battery went flat. So the reason why, the time was long, and we are going to change our response times within Traco. The technician took about, not 30 minutes, about an hour to get to site. But as soon as he was on site, then the problem was fixed. I was personally on the call with the technical leadership of Robert Infraco at the time when they were fixing the problem. I have assurances from Robert Infraco that they are going to have better monitoring of the systems that they provide to us for services. But more than that as well, is that as a result of the assessment that have been done, where about 30 to 50% of outages currently are caused by power across the network, we have a short-term or remedial plan between 0 and 3 months. And this is now in the second presentation, Chair. Where we are going to... Yes. This is the document in the pack. Yes, that's the one. Progress report.
Okay, we're talking about the... CETA is the national key point we're talking about, yeah?
Yes.
National key point.
Yes.
I want it to be noted properly. National key point.
Okay. Yes. So just on the presentation, we have done, almost completed all the audits on page 5 of that presentation.
of all the IT assets or asset management audits for the Home Affairs offices, what we call the local area network. That is on page 5. Then on page 6, we have done an audit of the network performance assessment. I say this is the work that we are doing with the third party that the DG just talked about. We've done an assessment of the cybersecurity environment extensively. We've done security penetration tests of all the systems within government there. And the result, if we can go to page 19, which shows the major reasons for outages in the main areas, the biggest areas there, which is Gauteng, KZN and Limpopo. This is at the top three would be power, and then telecom data lines, and then the other telcos that we work with. And then on page 20, the data there is the data that the acting DG will just mention now, which is a letter looking at the months of May, June, and July. with numbers slightly going down, but nonetheless, still affecting services quite considerably. And then the on power alone from page 21, we show incidences of outages caused by power at different locations. And that's from page up until page 30. Now, in terms of remedial action across covering all of the issues or the assessment or results of the assessment, if Chair, we could go to the document that is called improving end-to-end service availability. And this represents not only the findings of the assessment, but also the immediate remedial actions that would have been accepted by our EXCO as we speak today. But they will, it is on the agenda of EXCO, and they're processing it, our teams are processing it. If we just go to page 3 of that document, the page 3 then represents a very worrying state of affairs, Chair, that across the Home Affairs offices and also the CETA network, we do have a power problem that is part of the 0 to 3 months remedial action. At least we now know exactly where the issues are there in terms of the power problems. We've also looked at the equipment that is in use across the Home Affairs network, and that equipment is very, very old. Of the equipment that is in the offices that has been assessed, we've assessed 150 devices, and we've found that 398 of them are completely obsolete, meaning that they are either end of life or end of service. And they have to be replaced as a matter of urgency. And outside of the Home Affairs offices within the CETA network, it's 112 out of 395 devices. And we are going to replace those equipment with a matter of urgency as well. The problem there arises when, if you have such old equipment, then things are not at the same. First of all, you probably will struggle with maintenance, struggle with parts, but also those equipment will probably not work together appropriately because they are different ages, stages of life. Without talking too much about it, Chairperson, we have I found very, very worrying issues regarding the IT security environment, which I haven't given details on this presentation, but we are going to be addressing them with the agency together with the department. The issue about data centers themselves has been highlighted, and there are quite a number of data centers that host Home Affairs or systems, and we'll be working with Home Affairs to consolidate those data centers and then raise them to tier 3 or higher. But it's not just a benefit to Home Affairs, it's also a benefit to the rest of the rest of government. As we speak, we are also, in terms of the rest of government, now we're talking about Home Affairs, but the remedial action is to use secure data centers where applicable, that where the rest of was almost the data of the financial services environment, for example, Citi. So we're looking at tier 3, tier 4 data centers that serve as initially as secondary sites, meaning that they are always working in parallel with the primary sites, and then have third data centers which are data recovery data centers. That is a program where we intended to finish building that system by the end of this financial year. Our target was to do so by January. We had a hiccup, but we have made an appointment with somebody who's going to build a completely new data center environment for government using new techniques of cloud computing. That will make it easy for us then to move workload when things go wrong at any one of the data centers. But that is the intention, is to finish that project by the end of this financial year. So, President, on page five, for each area of assessments, we then provide remedial actions, 0 to 3 months, which is short term, and then 0 to 6 months, or 3 to 6 months, or sometimes even a longer horizon. And we believe that with the expertise that we have built into our organization, that we intend to also enhance with more operational expertise, just given some of the problems that happened this over the last week. The intention is to have more operational people come in and help us to deal with the problems as they arise. That we are we are probably at the end of a period of instability, and we're heading in the right direction, Chairperson. I know it does not feel that way right now, but we know exactly where we need to address problems, and the plan of action is quite clear. Chairperson, thank you very much.
Now, some colleagues, I think we will now sort of begin to get these questions and clarities. Let me give JL to make a comment there. I'll then give members. I'm just saying from the chair point of view, maybe you want, so that some of us have not taken everything. You are the only one that speaks here. JL is here. Come off the. Okay. What you may want to deal with, you may not want to deal with it now. Maybe in another level. The point that I was making, that the national security key point, when the issue of security comes in, security of information, data, all these data centers, and issues of security, that becomes quite very key. You know, sometimes the two things you may not want to rule out even sabotage, and I want to hear the capacity in which you are ready to deal with such matters if you are confronted with, right? You may choose to want to engage, but it's important for Parliament. But now that the entire government system is
could have collapsed. Is there any other engagement where you are called in to come and account, like in this level, other than this meeting now here, at the government level now, where you look at this problem, because if the entire government was affected by this whole downtime, meaning that the entire government was not working? You may want to talk to that, but later, let's allow members to, let me start with Hussein, followed by, I'm going to do it in this fashion. I'll give you numbers, which is going to be quicker, because there are a lot of hands. I'll come with it. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Each one of you has a number, but don't you? You'll be chimed with it. That's your number. And that's how I'm going to call you on. I'm going to call you number 10 if you're number 10. Number one?
I see you're running your own queue management system here. Chair, thank you very much. And may I say firstly, thank you to you, Chairperson, for...
Can you allocate time because we know some other people will speak the rest of the team.
Okay, okay. Nana, there's not enough room to speak for 30 minutes yet. We'll give you minimum 2 minutes. Just to raise issues, I mean, guys,
Chair, I agree with you, it's very important, and I want to appeal to you that you don't restrict the opportunity for members to engage, because that was the purpose of this interaction in the first place. So, but I appreciate, firstly, Chair, that you took the initiative to get CETA and Home Affairs here. I was out in Kokstad at the time when this thing occurred, when I sent you that email saying, please, can we do this? And I appreciate the fact that both yourself as well as CETA and Home Affairs responded as quickly as they are.
When you say both yourself, it means you initiated this.
No.
I don't want those.
No, I don't want. You must interpret it how you want.
I don't want anything to sort out when we do such matters, right? And there's no one who's claiming any political decisions for the committee here to resolve and find a solution to the problems. That's my approach.
Chair, may I say to you
that
I it's not my intention to claim any political victories. The fact of the matter is that I wrote to you about the matter, and that's not a secret. And I say to you, I appreciate the fact that you took the initiative. So if you don't want the credit for it, please don't take it. But I'm really just leaving with you the information, which is the fact. So, but thank you, Che. If you don't want to take the credit, I mean, that's your choice. Chairperson, what's more important than that issue is the fact that this whole incident for me, I think, should be embarrassing to all of us. I mean, can you imagine, on the 10th of August 2018, South African government came to a shutdown, not only in the country, but all over the world where we have access to Home Affairs systems as well. And that, I think, Chair, is, for us, should be a massive embarrassment. And I don't even want to express some of the frustrations that people have felt and the telephone calls that we received from members of the public who had to spend many hours in the queues on that day, not knowing exactly when those systems were going to come online. One of the weaknesses, Chairperson, is that a lot of the officials at Home Affairs offices did not get any feedback on when those systems are going to come back online. They had no idea. So they could not give any feedback to the public. So not only were senior management of Home Affairs or CETA, there was lack of communication there. The problem is there was lack of communication to the people on the ground on exactly how long this thing is going to take. And from what I hear, Chair, to me it just appears like a comedy of errors. I can't believe that it caused one diesel pump generator to shut down the national government. That's essentially what it comes down to. One generator pump, a diesel pump, and our entire government gets shut down. To me, that's just not acceptable. I get it that you were reliant on the power grid and power supply from Eskom and the municipality and all of that. But one would expect that as a government we would be able to deal with and have systems in place that can handle these type of things. I don't know of any other country in the world that the entire government system shut down on one day. I don't know of any other government. But it happened here in our country. And to me that is massively embarrassing, and I think it should be for all of us too. Chair, Sita was here now, this in, I think, my experience, the fourth occasion. And if I remember when they were here last time, and if you go back and look at the minutes and the notes of that meeting, there were a number of undertakings that were made from CETA at the time about the things that they're doing to fix it. One of the things I remember that Mr. Mohapi had said quite clearly, that the problems is not so much about networks, it was rather more about management. Then, Chair, Mr. Mohapi also explained to us that they were going to introduce a new management layer, and that is going to make a massive difference. But what we hear today is that the problem is no longer about management, it's no longer about network problems, it's now a power problem. So every year that CETA comes here to give us some excuse and explanation of what's going on, the problem changes. And it goes on and on and on. And if you look at that one graph that was presented to us, Chairperson, it's very clear to me that there's been very little progress in terms of the actual delivery on the ground. Perhaps there's been some progress at a technical level with management and equipment and all of that. But to the ordinary person on the street, or who relies on Home Affairs offices, to them nothing's changed. And Home Affairs still carries the reputation of CETA's failures, the bad reputation of CETA's failures. It almost feels like, Chair, like we are in this abusive relationship with CETA. They come here every year to apologize for being this abusive husband, and then we forgive them and they go away. And then the next year they come again with the same problems. That's exactly how it feels. And that's why I honestly think that for once and for all, as the DG said previously, that we should actually remove ourselves from the arrangement with CETA, I still believe that we should do exactly that. Just the only time we're going to be able to solve our own problems as Home Affairs, unless we don't have any further relationship with CETA. Because a year later, we get Mr. Mohapi coming back to us and say, now we know what the problems are so that we can work towards to fix it. This network problem and downtime with Home Affairs has been here for 4 years, since 2014. And it can't be that you've only figured this thing out now. Because how long more is it going to take? And then now suddenly there's a plan to build a new data center and another cost of, I don't know how many more hundred millions of rands that we're going to spend 4 years down the line, management problems, diesel pumps are going to keep going. So, Chair, my suggestion is that we remove ourselves and get divorced from CETA once and for all, and at least we can have some level of certainty on Home Affairs services. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. That is the spirit of the committee, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Chair, can I talk? All right. Chairperson, thank you very much for this item to be put on the agenda as well. So when this thing happened, I was called by a person from Mpumalanga. Not because the other chairs from Mpumalanga, of course. Until I heard from the news that no, in fact, it's happening in the whole country. And when the person called me from Mpumalanga, I thought it's our problem as the Department of Home Affairs. Then I gave the person to call the provincial manager. And I agree that if our department have been proactive as well, just to issue sort of a statement to say there is a crisis, at least there will be some communication to our people on the ground. But we are waiting to hear this thing from the radios to say that there is a problem that is happening in Home Affairs. That is one challenge from our own department. But coming back to this problem, Chair, I know this is not the problem of Home Affairs. We must be fair. The meeting that took place, Chair, you are not the chair of the committee. 2016, September, to September 6th. When the joint committee of such nature took place. And the good doctor here, he was new. He came and done the presentation in 2016. And he said to us in a joint meeting of such nature, he have identified a problem as a new person in CETA. And there is some intervention that is coming with his experience from the previous job that he has working. The former DG does a presentation in that meeting as well. And the former DG is there in black and white, Chair. He said the Department of Home Affairs must be exempted from CETA because this problem is a continuation of a problem. And he proposed that Home Affairs must be divorced from CETA. That is there in our minutes of the 2016 Chair. So my question is now from both the Department of Home Affairs and the Deputy Minister, as we have asked before from the Deputy Minister, if there is a political will from both executives, from both sides, to deal with this matter. Because if that proposal was made by the DG then, and it's 2 years later now, can we get a clarity? Could what was the outcome when you talk amongst yourselves? Because this problem has been identified long time ago, Deputy Minister. And I'm sure as the political head of this department, supposed to do something, because now it's getting worse. The CEO, the doctor here, I can't remember his the right title, but he's the one who's responsible for CETA. Chair, I'm not even exaggerating, other members will agree with me. He promised heaven. I even remember exactly what the old chair of this committee said to him. He said, don't rush things, this is government. Because he told us he have identified problem, which is at the switching centers, and he said new intervention like the GN is NGN that is going to be the solution to whole system of CETA because they have identified what is the problem, right? But now 2 years later, I'm not hearing that from him. It's shifting the bulk now. So, Chair, we're in a crisis. If we can't come with tangible solution as Department of Home Affairs, because that's where I sit. I know CETA does not service Department of Home Affairs alone. It serves other governmental department. But looking at the bigger picture now where the crisis emanates, ESCOM, because even Telkom was also mentioned as well, because we as Department of Home Affairs, we use 90% of Telkom. But that time we were told that Telkom was going under review and all sorts of upgrades and so on and so on. But looking at the bigger picture now, whereby ESCOM is in the center of the crisis, and as Department of Home Affairs, Chairperson will agree with me that we'll deal with poor people, as we mentioned earlier on, to say that a poor person take a taxi or a transport to an office of Home Affairs and to find that there's not even a communication from our own officials, because the reasons that the DM was mentioning, that we are also understaffed, we also have crisis of our own. But what are we saying to poor people on the ground? Because the service is not given to the people who have gone to get a service. So I'm saying, Chair, this problem, it can't be solved today by this meeting. Because you also called this meeting after what happened. So it means that we work as engine fires. So we wait about the problem and then we have to act. And when listening to the presentation from CETA, it does not paint a very good picture how to solve this problem. So I'm also want a clarity, Chair, and proposing that what is it, DM, why are we not exempted from CETA? Because it was raised by the department then to say that to be in this marriage as if there's no way out is not going to help us. The second issue, the last issue, Chair, we also raised this thing that in that meeting in 2016. Look, when you go to SARS, they're using a different network. Why are we not using SARS? I know that the Department of Home Affairs in banks, they're using that network, which is Vodacom. But what is the problem here? Why are we married to this CETA thing, which is not helping us? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Chair. I'm covered by the two speakers about the communication and the generator.
Mine is only, can SETA tell us I've got the capacity for this system? Because it seems as, to me, it seems as though there's no capacity, because you can't have a problem at 2 a.m. and you're going to fix the problem at 17:30 or 19, what. To me, there is a problem of capacity. I'm not quite sure. Secondly, Chair, can we please come and go to the system of the bank? I'm not quite sure whether, but I think it's better, the system of the bank or SARS, unlike the system is using now, because it seems there is ups and downs. But if there's no capacity, even on that, we can go to the system of the bank, but there is a problem. Because if you know, when you put your systems, you know there is going to be a challenge of power failure. What are you going to do? So it should be the generator. It picks up immediately. Immediately. There's no need to say, oh, there's this and this and this and this. But I don't know, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think mine is also on the issue of the generators. From the presentation, I'm not sure whether I picked it up correctly, because I understand SETA has got three generations and there's only one generation that is working, that is in operation. So I want to check, when are the two generations stopped working, and for how long? And then what were they doing in the meantime? Because for me, it seems taking from the presentation by the acting DG of Home Affairs, there's a point there on the last page which refers to the view of the Department of Home Affairs, where they are saying over-reliance on a service provider, even for mundane tasks such as switching on and off, including troubleshooting or problem diagnosis. So it means they are saying there's a problem of the personnel that has not been trained. So I want to check, because from the presentation of the acting DG, he mentioned that they have meetings, joint meetings, to address this issue. So I want to know, even in those meetings, what is their risk management and control? Because those issues should be discussed there. Have they identified these issues on those meetings that really they are using a service provider, but the internal staff is not trained about at least the simple operations of the generators. Then the other one is on this the tier 3 data center. The CEO from SETA has raised an issue to say by the end of 2018 they hope that this issue should be addressed, and I believe that is their discussion, the joint discussion between the Department of Home Affairs. But I want to check the budget, because it means if they say by the end of 2018, it means that project should be commenced earlier, later this year. So do they have a budget currently to manage that process? And then, yeah, I think those are the issues that I have captured. Thanks.
Thank you very much. You see, in listening both department and SETA, you see a management crisis. Forget about talking about all these technical issues. You see two things: management crisis, number two, corruption. Is what is happening here. You see, this is a build-up to tell you that we need
a third force, which means they will go and look for an independent company to deal with this thing. Forget about what they're telling you. Have your own analysis and legally dispatch your mind there. You will see. And I'm wondering because of, I'm going back to what you have said. Did the ministry has interest on these issues? I believe that, and to my answer is no. It's no. Such things will never happen if the ministry is hands-on on these issues. To start with, acting DG, I don't accept an apology of not giving us a report of exactly what happened. It shows that they don't take anything serious. They even forget to give their bosses a report. Their bosses are not even asking, where is the report in writing? So, in this room, can anyone tell me that is this right management or wrong? We need to think beyond what you are told. And moreover, this is a national key point department. Both of them, CETA and the Home Affairs, my chairperson from Telkom. I want all the colleagues to understand this thing. Even when the DG was talking about this thing, he was proposing otherwise. Let's leave CETA and do something else. I think if CETA doesn't have enough board of directors, madam, you must maybe all board members must know their role. And if they don't have right legal department, they must as well abolish those departments and start afresh. This shows that we don't have right management, we don't right people to monitor, a monitoring team. I'm shocked when Dr. That side reported that the generators are not working, too, something like that. Then you ask yourself, from when? And then they were just laughing, no, the generators are not working. Things will be fine. Eh? These people must account. They are not doing us favor. And they must know exactly, Bocchet, that for being a CEO is to make sure that everything is clean and clear. It's unfortunate because of, you see how I address these issues. Even when I was an administrator, by the way, I'm a former administrator. Many out of 2010 will like me, 10 will hate me. Because once I told you that you must not do this, next time when I come, then there will be a winning, a written winning. Or if it's more than that, I will fire you. Because I need people to work. And I hired people to work. This thing, the solution is one. Let's capacitate CETA with many IT people. For sure you are listening, but members of CETA. And we must make sure that no third force is coming to work for our national key areas. We must stop that. These people must be capacitated. Home Affairs must, acting DG, gentlemen. Your department must work hand in glove with CETA. And CETA must also, Chair, tell us their relationship with Dimension Data. And why is the Dimension Data in bed with them? For what good cause? Then I will talk. Let me pause here, but I'm promising you, please, that afforded me another time to come back after this this question was answered. For now, I pause here. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much for the presentation. Yeah, really, I was embarrassed, you know, after all that story, because it was during the day, and I was asking myself, what is the management actually doing to those people who were queuing in the Home Affairs? And I really don't know. As the Kerry government, did you go to them and apologize? I'm just asking about Mamuloto, Ma Chauke, who came with her last 50 rand. Who came with her last 50 rand to come to Home Affairs? And after that, to be told that there is a problem in Home Affairs. Yes, this is the heartbeat of South Africa. And it's embarrassing. The heartbeat, everything just, it came to into standstill. My plea, Chairperson, if ever management at that time, they were as caring, not doing things for themselves. If I was the person who was waiting at that time, I was going to write every person's name and to know where do they come from. It was not their problem. So we should own up what had happened. It shows that someone is not doing his work, and there should be consequence management in that. And this is the heartbeat, and it shows that this is a laissez faire kind of management. Until that time, and nothing is being reported, that was really embarrassing. You know, I didn't have any, you know, I was really speechless. And that time even the DG was also resigning. My plea as this committee, we want to know what did they do to our community members that were there at that time. That is the first point of departure. That, because it was not their problem. Mom Kize, Mom Kalipe, Ma Chauke must get her money back. I thank you.
Thank you,
Yeah, Chairperson, listening to both the presentations from Home Affairs and CETA, I would like to ask if they are convinced that this management has the required capacity. And do you vet your service providers, and how often, together with your senior management and the board members? And we've just received the presentations here, so one is just perusing. But when you peruse in the page of the findings, to say generators are not configured to start up when main outages occur, it is really unacceptable. I mean, the sole reason why you have a generator as a backup is to make sure that if something happens, immediately they kick off. You can imagine what would be the case if we have this situation in hospitals. How many people would have died by now? I think, the member is saying, that conflict management must really take place. And since the situation is not happening for the first time, have you considered some investigation, I mean, involving law enforcement officers or authorities to investigate and get to the root cause of this challenge? You know, somehow, Chair, when you listen to the presentation, especially from Speaker, one could sense that somehow there's a sabotage, but you need to investigate and not just realize or maybe assume. ESCOM as well need to be investigated. I think it's taking place already. And after the matters happen, it will go public, maybe radio stations, because the newspapers, not everyone reads newspapers, and most of them are written in English. Did you go public on radio stations using different languages just to apologize to the public? And, Chair, we must not undermine the fact that we are about to go for elections, so anything is possible. The situation could get worse before it gets better. So I think something should be done as soon as possible. And we take into consideration the fact that some of the outcomes of the investigations may not be discussed in such a meeting, but we just want to be convinced that something is happening to make sure that we get into the root cause of this challenge. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Dr. Mahapi, obviously you mentioned that this was a catastrophe and that inexplicable, that some of your backup systems failed to kick in. Knowing that the threats that have been made to your personal safety and those of other members in CETA because of your anti-corruption drive, have you seriously thought that this might have been a deliberate human intervention here that caused these such large-scale outages, and have you actually asked for that to be investigated by the relevant security authorities? Because it's very suspicious that, you know, they should all fall down at the same time. And, you know, the problems with your communications lines from Telkom and the patchy electricity supply from the other state enterprises, you know, have always been there. Why did everything fail at the same time? To me, it is highly suspicious. Then also, if you gave a whole long list of equipment that, through the systematic neglect of CETA over the past 20 years, is now obsolete and unusable and needs to be replaced. Have you worked out what cost it will be to implement all that, or buy and install that new equipment? And that would be fine. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think we've neglected to mention the reason behind this initial failure was cable theft, which we should class, and this committee should condemn, as treason. Anybody stealing electric cables that caused the network to go down is guilty of treason. And that's happening in Chwani. I've heard my colleagues mention sabotage. We know that the power network in Chwani is being sabotaged regularly. Chairperson, outages in government are not uncommon. I've just, without going into too much research, a survey in the U.S. found that 70% of federal agencies in the U.S. government experienced downtime of 30 minutes or more in a recent one-month period. So downtime is going to happen in any IT system. I must say, reading through these presentations, I've got a feeling of comfort that CETA is on top of this, that they've identified the problem, they've put measures in place to address it. So this particular perfect storm, I don't think, is going to happen again within CETA, and perhaps the CEO, Dr. Mahapi, can confirm that. But it seems that the generators, if you can just confirm, these generators were new, but one of the fuel pumps wasn't working, and that seems to me to be a major cause of what happened here, and you've taken steps to correct that. Dr. Mahapi, if you can just clear this up for me, have you brought Dimension Data in as a partner now to help sort out this problem going forward, and can you confirm, and I get this impression, that this particular problem, because of the steps you've put in place, will not happen again? Thank you, Chair. Sorry, Chair, just one other thing. I also had a look at a network map of one of our major four commercial banks, and they had 6 incidences of downtime over the last 4 days. So, you know, it's going to happen. Thank you, Chief.
Well, thank you very much. Number 10, last number.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Firstly, let me thank you, Chairperson, for the concern that you had after hearing that Home Affairs was down and systems were down, and for a number of phone calls that we heard about that around this issue, around the history and so forth, over weekends, Saturday, Sunday, we were really jumping up and down and really concerned. Chairperson, we are proud to have a chairperson like you.
Now you also mustn't take the credit, you see. Suddenly you are feeling very happy. you mustn't distort the truth, please, Honorable Zomeda.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Yes. Secondly, Honorable Chairperson, this starts from an outage from the capital city, that is the capital city of Tshwane in South Africa. There was an outage in this big city, the capital city of South Africa. And these outages have been common, very common, in the city of Tshwane recently. But we are not going to blame the DA which leads that city, because we know that it is perhaps a sabotage or theft. So we do understand. So it's not your responsibility as DA. It is the responsibility of thieves or people who are intending to sabotage South Africa, or people with intentions of treason. But we are going to leave that for investigators. And it was not Friday the 13th, it was Friday the 10th, but it was a day of bad luck for South Africa. But one of the speakers mentioned the issue of risk analysis. I'm not going to go there. I think the picture should be there, both for both the CETA, telecoms, and Home Affairs. But what I'm going to look at is, what is the disaster recovery mechanism for both Department of Home Affairs, the Department of Communications, and CETA? Because I think you've got to have this joint disaster recovery mechanism of some sort that is managed properly. What is that, and what are you having there? Because we are running an economy and you are at the heartbeat of the running of government of South Africa. What plans are there, and what is actually there? And I take it for granted that your audit committees are competent, your internal audits are competent, therefore your risk analysis is worth looking at. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much.
Colleague, can we get further input from other stakeholders before we then get the responses? I know that with Chief Director, the acting DG. Yes, please. Okay, let's hear your acting DG.
Thank you.
you can put up when I contact him. Okay.
Thank you very much, Chair. Of course, in the department, we will not have the first-hand information immediately when these events happen. But I think I need to inform the committee that immediately our DG, who was around at the time that the matter happened, he immediately appraised the minister of what was happening and then started ongoing discussions with CETA to understand what the problem was and to see how we could possibly support the entity. I think there was the issue raised by the chair, you know, whether there is willingness at executive authority level to deal with these kind of challenges. The challenges affecting CETA being challenged at some point to provide services to government departments has a little bit of a history now. But over the 2 years, we have, as a department, facilitated engagements between CETA and its client, both individually but also as collective, as government, really seeking to identify the real challenges and to agree on the solutions going forward. I would make a case in point here. I think it was about a year ago. There was this very serious problem relating to the issuing of certificates at TVET colleges. I think CETA is on record now, having reported to the relevant portfolio committee on higher education that through the efforts that were undertaken, that problem has since been resolved in the main. So we in on the side of the department on an ongoing basis assisting CETA to deliver its services better. Even the question of whether certain government departments should divest, you know, from utilizing CETA has been raised even to our minister, and I understand even at cabinet this discussion has taken place. In response, other than just the facilitation of meetings and resolving the problems, we have undertaken as a department to truly review the whole mandate of CETA and how CETA could best be positioned to deliver best service to government. So the department's response is that rather than taking knee-jerk reactions and deciding on one case by case basis, we need to review the whole model of digital service delivery to government, and that process is underway. Thank you very much.
But you don't tell us what
did the DG say to the minister? You only said the DG informed the, what did you tell the minister?
I can try and find the message which the DG copied to me, communicating to the minister, and just perhaps highlight the issues he was informing the minister about. I'm paging through and trying to find the right.
But the issues are in line with what today, right? Or it's just other things.
No.
Sometimes to assess your oversight on the things, but you don't know.
That's correct, Chair. The issues are the same as CETA is raising.
What did you say then?
So the DG is informing the minister that he has been in touch with the acting DG of Home Affairs about the systems which have been down since around 2 a.m. because of a power failure.
Yeah.
And it may take time to resolve because some of the servers are not operating optimally. I guess that talks to the battery failure as well. And then he informs only services that are using a SARS network, such as airports, are functional. and that the ADG of Home Affairs will be talking to CETA to see how best to resolve the matter. Thank you.
Yes. Jefferson, is a request that I should indicate what role we can play? Chair, we were part of the meeting of the Portfolio Committee, and we are attending this meeting because we were invited then by the Deputy Director General to attend this meeting. I just think that in terms of the skills development, it might be that it's not something we've discussed until now, but it might be that at some point NAMESA could be involved in matters relating to skills development where that should be the issue at stake. Some other issues have been identified here in this meeting as crucial issues and not skills development issues. So those would not be the issues to which we can respond specifically.
Thank you very much. I think you can come in if there's any other input GM that you still want to make. You are still welcome, GM, to speak on that one again. Now let me give first my colleague here to make a comment, and then you'll come in. The reason that we are taking time on this issue, members, this is the lifeline of Home Affairs. Without dealing with these issues, we don't have Home Affairs. So that's why you can have your APP, you can have your fourth quarter report, but if Home Affairs is not working, there's really no need. So therefore, we have really prioritized this engagement this morning.
Chair, thank you, and once more appreciating that you are able to accommodate us to be part of this meeting, because the two entities, the Department of Home Affairs as well as CETA, are the bodies that sit in our purview. Just as an advice to colleagues, and perhaps we will need to have further engagements between the two portfolios, just to look at the journey that we are traveling and see whether we are finding solution to the problem. And I would so much wish that when we deal with issues of this nature, we should try and take politicking out of it. It is very, I mean, people have been affected badly so, and we I think it's fair that as public representatives, we should try and represent the interests of our people as against wanting to score political points. And I must appreciate the inputs that colleagues from, I don't want to separate the committees, but that colleagues have already raised. I think the issue that Madam Sheen and Mr. McKenzie have raised touches the problem that we are confronted with as a country. And I think the engagement between the two portfolios can best help us to understand the challenge that we have, problems that we've already overcome, and perhaps the journey that we are supposed to be traveling, and the support that we need to give to an entity like CETA. We have made a commitment as telecoms that we will give the CEO our unqualified support.
because of the work that he's doing in that entity, as well as his board, and the challenges that are being faced in that entity. And I think for Home Affairs portfolio to have an appreciation of the information at our disposal could actually help us find common ground as to how do we deal with the problem. And I think the question, when the CEO responds to Madam Sheen's question, where, and Mr. McKenzie, whether the, and Madam, I can't remember the other member that that has raised the question, but I think Ma'am Tsotis, whether there is no suspicion of sabotage in the system. Because we cannot forgive the sabotage of electricity in Tshwane. And want the CEO and team to follow their swords for what could be sabotage in CETA. I think colleagues may follow, and indeed I don't want to respond for them, but we know for a fact that CETA is under siege, or has been under siege. I don't know whether that situation has been overcome. I hope there are. I think it was in the news recently, towards the end of the year, of the presence of the Burumakh, some people operating from prisons who were actually embedded in the system, your former apartheid police that were involved. So we must not, and that's why I'm appealing that let's understand the terrain and try and criticize where they need to be criticized, where they have faltered, let's take them on, but we must also be conscious that we may miss the boat and misdiagnose the issue and give wrong solutions to a problem that is going to be with us for a long time. Because I don't believe for a second that we should even consider the divorce that we're talking about. That's exactly what got us into the FAFSA challenge. My view is we are working within the state institution, and let us make sure that our state operates maximally. Problems will always be there. I mean, look, NASA couldn't fly last week to the sun because there was a problem. The other one fled and it destroyed a huge investment when it came from one of the planets. Accidents happen across the globe. Some of them man-made, some of them technical. Who has not been to the bank and he couldn't get money because they say the systems were down? I mean, Gusile was on fire over the weekend on Sunday. I don't know how many billions have been burnt. Some of us who traveled on Sunday couldn't get our luggage from OR. It happens everywhere. The systems fail. But I am saying if there are people who are responsible through their own lapses for the problem that we're having, let them follow their swords. But if they are faltering or deliberate actions to sabotage, let us help the system to investigate, find fault, and take people. We are a country. We are a country to run collectively. And that's why when Tshwane gets sabotaged, the electricity, I'm not going to take a posture that says, fire the mayor because the electricity has been stolen. He cannot reach everywhere. We should collectively work to make sure how to build the systems so that such things do not happen. I wouldn't rush to politic about some of these things, and I think that's what I could say. But indeed, communication is something that we did not benefit from, and I think it's something that collectively all of them should communicate. It's a very thing to communicate because you don't know when will the electricity come back in Tshwane, whether it was Tshwane matter or Eskom matter or Thieve matters. You don't know when you're going to have it resolved, and therefore I think that collective communication is something that we should have been coordinated especially by a body like, I don't know, who's doing the coordination. But bring Tshwane in, if ESCOM is involved, bring ESCOM, bring CETA, bring Home Affairs, so that collectively they communicate from one spot as to when they are expecting what to happen and whatever. But indeed, perhaps we should allow the investigation also to unfold, because some of the explanation given by the CEO indicates to me, just listening to the story, there are things they may not be willing to say openly. You know, sometimes you make things, you say them in the open, and the next thing, the people you are after go underground. But we know, I think communication was not there. Was not up to scratch. Chair, I don't think that. But I only have one main question: should we rule sabotage out? And I wouldn't want to hear the CEO elaborating a lot on the matter. And I would really appeal to all of us just to respect that if he has to speak on sabotage, he must just give an indicative and not give details. There are things that we know that you may not know that we wouldn't want to discuss, for instance, in public, because it's sensitive matters. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. The JL direction at the same time, dealing with the way forward, but posing a question again at the same time. I've noted areas of way forward already. But can we then get into your responses? And I know that I've noted DM before, all of you, DM. You want to come now?
I think so.
Okay. Okay, so both of you, acting DG, and acting DG on the telecommunication and CETA, the chair, member of the board, you have authority now to speak and to direct who must speak on what area you want them to speak to, because you are accounting officers at the end of the day, and the rest of the people that are here, they are under your command, right? So I don't want to see any contradiction, in fact, meaning that the leadership must give direction on the issues. If they are in your fingertips, you know where to tap in. Maybe you can start first with the accounting authority member of the board first, and then you can then give that.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you to the honorable members for your time and listening to our story. Chair, I just want to say that we don't want to start pointing fingers with the sabotage, but it's not something that we're ignoring, because we are aware of how many feathers we're ruffling and the stance that we've taken as a company, the board supporting the CEO, and the changes that are happening at CETA right now. A lot of people are really uncomfortable. So we're not saying anything openly on the sabotage, but we're not excluding it completely.
Important point you have just made, and I think we'll then be able to come in, Honorable Sen, unless you want to make a follow-up on that input.
Yeah. Chair, may I just make just one point, and that is, you know, in the past I hear this thing about sabotage, but if we genuinely want to get to the bottom of it, we as a committee need to understand, is it a management problem, is it a power problem, or is it a sabotage problem? Now, we must get this report back again,
okay,
because this thing about sabotage mustn't be used as an excuse to try and put the problems aside. So if they are looking at sabotage, and that, then we must get a report at some stage to say the cause of the shutdown or the downtime was directly because of sabotage. It mustn't be a cover-up for poor management.
I've given you this privilege to follow up, because I thought it was going to be in line with that. But can we, for now, let's allow the leadership that is before us to speak, respond to the questions that the members have posed to them, and then work on getting a way forward. And I think part of what you are raising, Honorable was saying, part of what you are raising, we may then look at, as we deal with the way forward, how do we deal with such areas. If it's sabotage, if it's what, we can then maybe agree on the approach, rather than just throwing it open, and then wanting you to speak on that. But what is very important again is to assure this committee that everything is well, it's under control. There's a point that day, the Honourable Member Number 9 made, I just forget the name, Honourable Member Number 9 made a point of Mackenzie issues of threats and all of that against the CEO. Your CEO, I know that you may not want to talk about people who are chasing you every day, but I think Parliament will take a serious interest. In fact, if any of our official civil servant is being threatened by anyone, ours is to make sure that the police do their work and arrest those people. It cannot be left there that you are on your own, find your way. If it is confirmed that there is that particular Washikola, maybe that the chair that does direct oversight with yourself is here, and you'll definitely have to take up the matter and in fact involve the highest office of police to deal with such matters. It cannot be allowed, in fact, that people are threatened because you are fighting corruption. You must fight corruption without fear of favor. Go in there and hit it right on the head if there's corruption there. You know. So let me give you an opportunity now to speak together with the acting DG and the acting DG of communication. You can talk to us on the questions that, and I think you have noted questions too of what members have raised, and you are going to speak on those issues too.
No, thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity. I just want to respond to the issue raised by Honorable Hussein and Honorable Nkalipi and Honorable Raputi on the communication issue. Chair, when we learned about this issue around about 7 in the morning, I then communicated with CETA to establish the facts. And then we were assured that the system might be up and running no later than 9 o'clock. We informed the Minister and the Deputy Minister, we prepared a press briefing, a press statement. That media statement was read as early as 9:13 and was released immediately at 9:30 to brief the public. And when obviously we also communicated to our offices so that there's no miscommunication and people are clear what is the problem. Safe to say that Honorable Hussein spoke to me, I informed you at about 10 o'clock that morning when you queried about the same issue. So there is that trail. And then post that, we also address various media houses, including SABC Radio, which they distribute to all provinces, to all radio stations. So that we undertook. So we spent the whole day doing that, the whole of Saturday, the whole of Sunday, actually. I was on different platforms. Communicating that message. I think from the communication point of view, we are comfortable that we did everything. Now, let me come back to this issue relating to why are we not moving away from CETA. So the process, as I think Honorable Kalipe highlighted, we had a joint meeting with this committee about in 2016. CETA made certain undertakings. Last year, February, as I said, both Minister Kwel and Gigaba met here in Cape Town. There were further undertakings that CETA made in that particular meeting. And in May, and one of the issues that CETA had said to us was give us an opportunity to deliver the package that you need insofar as the benchmarking that you've done with SARS. So that agreement was concluded on the 16th of May last year, and then they started the process. That is why now we have obviously said, look, let's give CETA an opportunity to sort of redeem themselves, if I were to use that word, in this regard. The last point I want to say, and I think for now, Chair, everything is going very well in terms of what the NSS assessment that they've done. The reality is there's an issue of ICT infrastructure that needs to be replaced because we are building modern systems on top of an obsolete IT infrastructure which cannot carry the demands those applications are placing on it. So there's huge investment that needs to be made, Honorable Kekan, in that regard. Obviously, when you do those in infrastructure replacement, you have to go out and procure those issues. And I know, procurement issues in South Africa, they also, you have to go to the market, make sure competitive bidding process and so forth. Those are the issues. But we cannot, because if we do not act as management, then there'll be accusation of the lack of leadership. And obviously, if you make those decisions, those decisions got to be made to ensure that we are doing that in the interest of the people of South Africa. So I thought I should just put that into context so that it's understood. I will not address the other issues because they are mainly related to CETA in terms of the sabotage and other issues that I think Honorable Shin raised, which are quite critical. Thank you.
Maybe on the issue of infrastructure, as you say, the old infrastructure, you're not saying who,
when, because you are a Department of Home Affairs, for example, when I look at your APP, now it does not talk of replacement of infrastructure. So at what point, therefore, we're going to do that? Because it's only through Parliament that you then get your budget passed and processed based on your APP, things that you must table here in Parliament to say, we have to, you know, renovate our systems, our old systems and all of that. Therefore, in the APP of the department, this is what we are now tabling. You know, not only saying tabling in the APP in Parliament, but as we interact with the budget process of government, are you raising these issues critical? Because it will carry on and carry on for the next 20 years. We'll be talking about old infrastructure. Maybe somehow, as we interact with yourself, you need to come back and reassure us as to how you deal with the issue of refurbishment of infrastructure. Is that a follow-up on this thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, let me give you one quick, just a minute, and then speak on that. Just speak on that one.
Yes, Chair, thank you so much. I think on that note, there's also a concern that has been raised by CETA to say even the equipment of some of the equipment of Home Affairs is not in life. So I think in combination with that.
Okay. In supporting your statement, Chair, you see, it goes to where I was saying that you'll find some build-ups to something else. It's now the time for the officials to know where they account. If they've never told us anything in the book, they must not just do it and say it's an executive decision. They must now know exactly what should happen. They must report everything that they're supposed to do. I thank you. Mama, no permission? So.
Yes, ma'am. We appreciate the fact that you are talking about infrastructure, and I think we're going to look for a service provider to deal with that. We'll be very pleased, Chair, if you've had a particular service provider. And secondly, as you talk about transport management, if ever someone is found to have committed a mistake, let us not only look at the official that is wrongly appointed. Let us also look at the panel of the people who have appointed this particular person, because it takes two to tango. People do not do themselves in the department, but someone is recommending their appointment. Those people must also be dealt with.
No, that's fine. Let's allow them to speak. You still want to come? Let me give the last one, then let's respond to the question. I'm going to ask all of you to hold a little bit until such time that all questions are responded to. You can come in now. You can come in then.
Yeah, Chair, I was just saying that with this issue, we cannot exclude the issue of sabotage.
Okay.
So it must be part of an investigation when they come and give the report.
Okay, that's
it is.
Thank you very much. Let's respond to a number of these questions. There are about more than 12 questions that were asked. In fact, there are about 14 questions that were asked by members. Are we able to respond? You're starting with number one's question to number 10, and 12 and 13, which include myself and MJL here.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
Chair President, I think maybe just to say one word. Is that about 2 weeks ago we did have a board meeting and we received the final report on the matter that the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Telecommunications and Postal Services talked about. It is a horrific report, and it is a report that we are taking to the our minister to address it there first, and then we take it forward. But it's quite a bad report. At the end of that process, the questions were asked around to what I'd previously come here with, one, and then where are those promises and what are we doing moving forward? Chairperson, I'm. When I mentioned, and I just want to, because it was on the record, I talked about my experience at a previous SOE that was in trouble as well, Centec. And for example, as we sit here, the parliamentary channel is being received at more than 150 radio stations, community radio stations. As we speak, the audio part of it. I did that myself. And I did that in a matter of a couple of weeks, from conception to inception to creation. It was a different organization, though, in that the skill sets, the underlying skill sets of that organization were quite mature. There was a formal, for example, career progression system that could take a young person in his or her 20s and create a career path covering 20 to 30 years. Where that young person knows, if I do something, this is what I get. And therefore you had broad competencies and a system that incentivized people to try and do the right things. So in fact, in 1 year, we were able to retire a whole technical operations management layer and reduce the average age by 30 years. And nothing broke. Not one single state TV station broke, not one radio station broke. The engineering capabilities required to run a broadcast network are much more complex than what you need to run an IT system, a wide area network. The number of things that I mentioned here were premised on my own assumptions about the fact that certain things were, the basic things were within the organization. Yes, we had already gone through what one of the members have just said now, I think one of our members of it, that if we find people who are wrongly appointed, then you start with the people that appointed them. So in fact, when we started with our forensics and the cleanup, we started with the HR function, because we found that the whole system of HR, of appointments, promotions, and everything else, including employee relationships, were corrupted. So you could stay in the organization, not because, for one reason, or only one reason, is because you have relationships with the ER person, irrespective of the bad things that we're doing. We have recently completed our SCM investigation. 2/3 of the SCM people have left the organization in a period of just over 1 year, say 1.5 years. 2/3. That's 60 out of 80 people. All different things done. Sounds like 2/3. 3/4. 75%. 60 out of 80 people left. And none of them left, maybe out of those 60, about 2 left without a charge sheet in their hands. And often a number of them, about 1/3 of them, left because we dismissed them. Those two systems have an effect. One, a lot of times we are talked about, there's a comment about the cost of CETA services. If we buy things at 50% premium, the government eventually is going to end up paying more. Oftentimes we go and renegotiate these things, and we get prices in 2015, 16 when I arrived there, that we should have gotten last in 2005. But in the meantime, between 2005 and 2015, the government has paid that premium. And it happens. It happens. It happens today. We have largely cleaned it. At the end of the investigation, I asked the people, because again, we are under pressure on either to focus on cleaning up and balance it again with service delivery, which is an important thing. What is the residual risk facing us for the untoward behavior? They put it about 30%, meaning that we still have a risk that 30% of our core has probably is at a risk of being compromised. And then they start acting irrationally and acting against the interest of the organization, which are the interests of the country. Chairperson, our investigation did not only touch SCM. It went into certain critical technical functions of the organization. So in networks, for example, we cleaned. So some of the things that one did inexplicably don't work, and it's the first time that I see so many things that I try, that I know work, that sometimes do not work. And you find later on that somebody has an interest. And people, it's not about small amounts of money. It's quite a lot of money that we're talking about here that makes people act so irrationally. There's no reason why we should be working, being a partner to the Department of Home Affairs, that 90% of its network equipment is obsolete, meaning that even some of it, even if, as I said earlier, if it breaks, you probably won't find, the manufacturer won't be able to help you. There's no reason why that should be the case in this day and age. There's no reason why that when the generator started dying in 2014, we refurbished them. And sitting here, I wonder to myself, and I don't want to disparage people out there without anything, to wonder why, if the generator is still under warranty, I've never seen a situation where a fuel pump bends in a generator. Because if it bends in a generator, you're talking about flammable environment. So a fuel pump that can bend means that it can bend anything around it. It's the first time I see something like that happen. It is the first time that a generator can break for such a long period of time that no one receives an alarm, at least I should receive an alarm when such a catastrophe happens, as I've requested and the procedure is there. So we're going to find out we're going to put a lot of more focus on that, for the underlying, even if personal issues there are. What has happened, and the model of us moving forward, is that I then went to, that was last year, FTNB she's talking about, I went to the leadership at Home Affairs post, the meetings of ministers. And then I said, I believe that the weakness is at a management layer within our environment. And that I will go out into the market, which was an open market, to get a team that can help us with managed network services. And that's how Dimension Data came through. It came through an open market system. And they've done a lot of work. It took a long time for them to be able to do the assessments. I'll give you an example of the difficulty of somebody like me making suggestions about how to move forward, only to find that I'm working on limited or sometimes even misleading information. It turns out that we did not have what is called a configuration database. That means that these network elements that are sitting there, some of them were not even configured. Some of them were not in the asset base. Some of them we don't know where they are. It is not just in the Department of Home Affairs. It happens around in other departments as well. And it is part of the record in our reporting to our portfolio committee on some of the challenges that we meet. So if you don't know, if you don't have a piece of equipment in your asset base, and it goes down. Let's say it's serving an office, but you can't see it at all in your monitoring system. It goes down. You don't know it. You can't measure it, so you're not going to go. The worst part of it is that we'll only know when the DG, acting DG, calls me. And the acting DG or the DG will be called when member of the public is upset and irate in front of our colleagues in the call phase of public service. So this assessment takes a lot of time. As I said, for the purpose of this, because all of these things are on the record and they can be, through the assistance and go-ahead of the department, they can be made available to look at the kind of vulnerabilities that have been built over a long period of time. So I can safely say here that I have a team of people that are reliable, that have done these things in the form of this, the result of this market, open market process, which happens to be dimension data, that I'm comfortable that they're giving me credible data. So we don't see a big drop, so to speak, but what you see is that when they started in May, there was actually an increase in the number of incidents logged. It was not because there was a sudden deterioration of services. It was because more credible data came out of the system. So our people would tell us, I would get a report that says 92% available to 95%. Department of Home Affairs would argue and say it is not 95%. Right now we have a more credible number of what the level of availability is, because the data that is coming in from the entire environment. So me coming here, I'm probably the least credible person sitting in front of you right now. But I can safely say that I'm presenting data that is now coming from my side from a very, very credible source after having a lot of people leave my environment. And now I'm working with quite young people, people who not too long ago, what we call lead consultants and so on and so forth, that we have moved and challenged them quite extensively, but are working with a lot more competent people. What has happened then is all people who have the experience and are running the kind of services. I think the comment was made
why don't we look at the banks and the financial services industry? So we have those people in our environment right now. What is happening right now is that this, one of the discoveries now, in fact, what I was working on before the outage came through, was to augment the management team and actually put in operations people to augment our own operations people. Because it's one thing to have management, but then the managers have to be managing our people appropriately so that we don't have miscommunication that's similar to what we have over the last week. So this question is then related to what is the fundamental issue. It is the issue really of skills, and the issue of skills of CETA is not unrelated to the issue of the governance problems that CETA has been carrying all along, because you may find in a number of cases people sitting in positions that they ought not to be in. And how do you remedy that? And I know at the end of it all we have members of the public sitting there. And I know that at the end of it all there is an ideal or an objective behind CETA that serves a national interest when CETA works. And it's not my comment what happens to the CETA Act and so on and so forth. It is not, but if that CETA would work according to the current plan that we have right now, it would, in my view, add significant value, and we can be able to reach the objectives that were behind the creation of this entity. But we need to build it through skills. We need to bring it through young people. Chairperson, we have done something, and it's not, maybe it is, may or may not be related to the things that we are seeing now. We have now, while we augment our teams with the external world in the short term, we have now realized that one of the risks that we face is people staying over beyond their retirement ages, so we have enforced that as well. It's not a loss of skill that is there, but it's probably incentives and fears that people then generate when, I mean, I'm not disparaging people, but as my chairperson, as my board member is talking about, there is a lot of angst in the system, but it's an angst that is taking this organization once and for all in the right direction. Is there a question of skills right now? Absolutely. Absolutely. And we are probably taking a fairly expensive way of dealing with the skill sets by bringing the private sector in, but it is a transition process. Eventually, this organization will be run largely by the, under the new mandate that has been developed by the DTPS, will be run by our competent employees, properly employed there. This also addresses the question of dimension data as well. It is not dimension data per se. It is a result of an open market looking for people who are in the business of managed services in terms of networks. Not necessarily the ones that run networks, but the ones that can be able to orchestrate between multiple networks. I must also say that as I sit here, I take ultimate accountability, and I have no doubt that if, and I will not cause any problem, should my board find that I'm at fault, I will take the finding and deal with it as I should as a leader in an organization. I do not have any intention of passing blame. I'm as much subject to accountability as any member of staff is, Chairperson. The question about capacity, I think I've addressed. There are capacity issues, hence we have brought in augmentation from the market. And that augmentation, one of the things that we wanted to see was to make sure that they've provided similar services in high availability environments such as banks as well. We have four generators, and they have enough capacity to work. I think there was not they're served from one fuel pump, and that the fuel pump is the one that then died, and then it could be served the generator system. It was not that the generators were not working. As I said, there are new generators under warranty. The ops meetings do address the issues, and the current operations meetings are geared towards doing the full assessment that we now have, and the next off meeting now, I mean coming off our expo as well, is to go and look at the immediate remedial plans. That is going to first and foremost address the power issues. For example, one of the question about funds.
and so on and so forth. One of the proposals that we have is that particularly in the small offices, we have a fully powered a cabinet system that makes sure that every office of the Department of Home Affairs is standardized in terms of power and mechanical systems. The modernization program goes beyond the network as well. As I said, we can a part of a disaster recovery or business continuity system, or even say a basic a technical business continuity system, is to have not only a primary site but a secondary site that is running together with the primary site at all times. So that should a primary site fall, you don't even feel it. Within seconds, the secondary site continues as usual. And then you have a disaster recovery site separately there. Now, the way we are doing it, we are modernizing our hosting environment. Our hosting environment is older than me. It was created way, way, way back, and it's very, very difficult to manage there. We are moving our hosting environment to modern systems, and that's the system that we have been working on since for quite some time, since last year. And we have done all the work. We have people who are coming in to build the system for us. And that system, as I said, is scheduled for the fourth quarter of this financial year. I've seen originally that hosting system is one that is built by CETA, and services, hosting services, are going to be provided as services to government departments. So the government departments have to, the appropriation that will be required is for them then to get hosting services from CETA. But the capital expenditure is going to come from us, and that has already been approved by the board, and is also in our APP as well too. Then, but one has seen also the cost of modernization is quite significant. I've seen some initial figures there, particularly on the network side, on Home Affairs. I wouldn't like to talk about them now, so that it comes through the cycle. I think all the time, the plan was that we do the medium to long term plan, which is a transformation plan. We're going to do this year, so that the full cost of a new built, funded by the department itself, will go through this budgeting cycle that is coming up. So I think we'll see the budgets coming up. I must say also, the department is also an immediate user of SA Connect. The numbers for this year are not too much. It's 507, and as I speak right now, department has 507 in total. And then this year, up to now, we've connected just close to 40 sites, and I think the Department of Home Affairs itself has 10 of those sites, and these are sites that are now will reduce the risk we face because of old data lines. They're not longer, these are fiber-based data lines, not the copper-based data lines that attract theft as well.
The questions were really directed to CETA, as they are of immediate application there, but what we will commit to as part of our normal work of oversight is that we then continue to monitor the undertakings of service improvement that CETA is making here and facilitate then the reporting not only to this committee but to our committee as well. In the telecommunications and postal services, we are in support of CETA. We are doing our best we can to assist them. Thank you.
Well, the point is noted. I think JL is here in his day-to-day engagement with yourself. I think there will be that accountability around some of these issues. The issue of your so Home Affairs comes inherently to this committee because, as I have said earlier, that when I look at the APP of the department, it does not talk of all of this new renovation of new systems and all of that. So therefore, it's a serious concern. But I think we'll be able to engage with the committee, with the department, and see the areas in which they're coming in. And the cost and all of that, obviously, it's something else. But the state had to commit. I mean, if we were to renovate and really put up new systems. It means that the state must be in a position to deal with such, I mean, both yourself and Treasury, Home Affairs now. We'll have to deal with that. But let's proceed with the last remaining questions, and then we can then deal with the way forward and then close the meeting.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think there were a number of questions around consequence management, and I think in our in the last 2 years we have certainly showed our resolve on consequence management, whether it's on governance matters or matters of negligence and dereliction of duty, and we are going to assess the situation from Friday to determine whether such happened. Over the next week, this situation is a very, very unlikely to happen. We are beefing up, as I mentioned, our operations teams so that it's not just about management, which is driving stabilization for the future, but also dealing with operational matters as and when they come out effectively. And I do not foresee that we will have such a disaster. It's quite rare for something like this to happen. But obviously, clearly, one needs to do a lot more to prevent such things from happening.
Without really disclosing, it was the kind of a measures that we have now put in place, firstly to secure this stray area of from your power line, your generators, and UPS, which is a battery system. I would take it that by now, we have now put in place a security system, first of all, that makes sure that, because you said you have never seen a pump bend the way it was bent. It means that somehow there was some interference, right? So it means that we then have to put in place some kind of a security system to secure. We're dealing with the national key point, by the way, and definitely you'll have to tap into other agencies to help you deal with this. Because you deal with an environment that you are in a transformation, you're fighting corruption there, and definitely elements that are not here are going to come out and sabotage you. It's possible. So you don't need the rocket scientists to prove it, but here is a pump that just burned out of the whole system and it collapsed the whole country. Just one pump. So yeah, just work on that. Yourself, in fact, deal with your way forward too as you close this thing. Because there must be questions. You must be able to say, moving forward, this is what we're going to do. It's an environment that we understand very well. And both we and Home Affairs, I was happy that there is this committee that is in operation, but I really don't pick up that you're really dealing with the issues to that extent. So you can deal with that, summarize, and then maybe we can just make one or two comments so that you are able to leave us
Yes.
I wanted to know the relationship between the CETA and Dimension that and other private companies that are working with CETA. Sure.
Chairperson, ke me raputi. Le ra ke tam. I was just saying that, you know, the CEO has brought a very important issue here. He says that really he himself was scared to see the severity of the damage. Is it possible that we can be afforded, you know, the pictures of that incident? Yeah, because so that we are also here even to learn, even to make other people aware, yes, about what is happening.
We'll get a report. What is important is that because they are doing investigation, we'll get the report, and the report obviously will speak to, rather than just getting pictures would not help. But let's get the report. If there's an investigation that is on, let's agree that as we'll wrap up, maybe we don't know what are the timelines and what systems have you put in place for investigation and all of that. When do you expect to have the final report? At what point are you briefing your principals? Because again, is when we have the principles, meaning that they, at the political level, we'll have to prove them. At what point do you think we can come to Parliament? We may want to deal with that, maybe not even in this meeting here, but as you go back, you can then sort of outline the process that we're engaging in. We have taken note, in fact, of this issue quite very seriously, that we don't rule off a, you know, possible a sabotage in this area of work. So it means that the committee needs to be updated. The joint committee or the committee that you report to directly, we're taking a sort of a direct interest because the department that we do oversight on deals with South Africans on a daily basis. We are the biggest department, in fact, the busiest, that interact with the citizens on a daily basis. So we are taking quite a very serious interest. By the way, with my experience, I've worked with CETA for many years. I'm not new in the Home Affairs. I may be new on other things. That's why it was easy to relate where the problem is. When we realize that the systems are down, we know where the problem is. We'd not wait for anyone to tell us, but we know that CETA has that responsibility to account for. So let's deal with that and work on working up now.
Because without going into the details, our immediate plans are in the presentation that I've just shown there, that is in the pack of the members, which shows the what we are doing over the first 3 months, immediate 3 months, which is stabilizing the power systems, and then also looking at the cybersecurity environment as well. Cybersecurity environment as well, Chairperson, and then and that is on three levels. One is on architectural level, the other one is on operations level, and the other one is on putting completely new systems in place. That is on page 7. Then there's an area here of refreshing the network assets. If you look on page 9. We need to whatever assets are there, we, as I said, if they are not configured properly, then we cannot manage them, we cannot see them, we cannot manage them. So that's an immediate thing that we are going to do. You'll see there is work there which is 0 to 6 months. I know it goes into the it's still within this financial year, but looking now at preparing for the refresh of the offices, that's 450 sites. Or devices, and then 395 devices, and then standardizing on that and removing all the security vulnerabilities that are sitting in the network. Then the other thing, which is starts now but takes a little bit more time, is the last point there on page 9, which is our network operation center environment, where we are going to rebuild it and then retrain our people. One of the things that was required by the department is the ability to see what is happening in the network at the level of the department, and that's something that will be delivered fairly quickly. So if I can just go to that's page 15. there are areas there where we accept that's the level 2 and 3 support there, where we probably accept that we need to augment that a little bit more. I mean, we probably would have reduced the timelines for this outage. I think the question was being asked earlier, what are the skills to diagnose and then come up with credible areas of problems and also credible areas of solutions. That's a skill set within problem management as well, and that's an area that we are going to, I'm going to propose to Home Affairs that we augment in the very, very short time. Thank you.
I'll go move it.
If I repeat, it means I've never.
No, that's fine.
Can you
tell us again that how you sourced this private support from that.
Sure.
Why are you being kicked in a meeting, DG? Are you sure you're fine? And you're not sharing it. You're not to the DM. You're just leaving it again. In the view of cameras. No, let's agree that it's still you. It's fine. Have water again. Just okay. Please, can you just come back to the usage of a private, and I'll take it that part of how you should answer it maybe is that CETA uses a number of solutions, right? And there are a number of different entities, private companies, that maybe in that context, just put it so that a Honorable Kekana has some kind of satisfaction to answer, please.
Thanks very much, Honorable Kekana. There are certain things that, we operate a number of things to provide a service. So there are what you call hosting environments. That's where the applications are and then the data sits. That they're housing for that and then the hardware for that. Because of the nature of those services, the housing becomes state housing. And that's why we keep them as Centurion. And that's why the department then would say, let's go and build our own tier 3 data center owned in a building owned by the state because of the nature of that. So there will be other departments that insist or have to have their own state-owned housing. Then the equipment that sits there as well, you can have your data or your systems sitting on some other equipment, but that you own directly, or you can insist that you have your own equipment there. We like to have our own equipment for certain services. And then the people that work there, then oftentimes we will, if we look at this, the operation of CETA, we have 3,000 people. But if you were to do CETA and have or do that work with employees of CETA alone, you probably would need about 2 or even 3 times more than that. So what we then do sometimes is then to have the rest of the market delegate some of the work to the rest of the market, but obviously retaining the responsibility for that. So in this particular case, we have been running networks on our own, with our own people, but we use certain services, for example, from Broadband Infraco, and there was mention of other service providers like Telkom and Vodacom and so on and so forth, they are in the report there. But the overall management of that network is our, we take over that. What has happened in this situation here is one, a final realization and a commitment from our side that we have technicians, but we don't have providers of network services. So they can fix a network component, but the end-to-end service requires a lot more capability and also experience. So I then said, because of what we've gone through with the department, can I go into the market and get not a network service provider, but a managed network service provider? This is somebody who does not own networks, but knows how to operate and provide service across multiple infrastructure networks because of the nature of or the way we end up building our networks. So that's the market there. And that market contains a number of companies. It was an open tender that we went out on, and they won that. That establishes then the relationship between ourselves and Dimension Data. Relationship which we then extend to Home Affairs, and because of the nature of the matters before us, want Home Affairs to have full 100% visibility of what we do with Dimension Data, notwithstanding that we are the ones that appointed them. So they are in as service providers to augment our capacity.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. If you listen to this issue, then it went back to what I was saying, that we need to be careful when we deal with this thing. Okay, this issue is the issue of workforce versus capital. And now he's elaborating on capital more than workforce. First, the skill is not scarce in South Africa. But they opted to get a private company to provide that skill? Or maybe can I ask that, do we have a shortage of that skill in this country? Then I will come back.
No, I'm not coming back.
It's fine. I'm
point is made.
You know what I want to tell you?
Yes.
Yes. And thanks very much for being progressive. In this case, I want to prove that sometimes it's us who are killing our own people, the South African citizen. What the CEO is talking about, that, listen to this carefully, we need these people to assist us here, because if the department can wanted to go to hire these people, it will be multiple the number that they have in the department. If I had skill, then why can't he tell us about the capital? How much they paid them, and this money will short if they want to boost workforce. You see, it's where it goes, and at the same time, it kills our policy in job creation, and secondly, then it promotes corruption in all the departments. I thank you. I wanted us to deal with this issue, or if there's no time, but I think nowadays we must create more time for committees to interrogate these issues. So if there's no time, let him give us that information in writing, and we will peruse and get a different opinion on it.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think the point is made. The oversight committee that deals with sit on a day-to-day basis. I think, JL, you have noted the point. You may want, as you move forward with your day-to-day oversight, call the department, CETA in particular, to look at its ability, its plan, in fact, to create more, you know, of its own capacity within, right? Generally, that some of the technologies, obviously, we'll have to solve them from outside. Can't have them inside of the state. So, but how do you augment that? How do you, in fact, there's a training body there that is has a responsibility again to help your department, in fact, they get the skills that one train these young people that they have identified, so that the state on its own can be, in fact, the producer of some of the solutions that you find them in the market. The state can be able, in fact, at some point to produce such solutions and all of that. But that's the point that Honorable Kana is making, in fact, around the usage of, you know, private companies. Especially, in fact, the point that we're making is that you're dealing with a national key point, you know, and you don't want most of this information to be in private hands. That's what you're trying to do. Because if you have, you know, for example, your birth record is run by Dimension Data, at the button, someone that sits in the US knows the database of South African death, birth register, your population register where it's hosted. If anyone can interfere with that and plug in extra people that we don't have and qualify them for citizenship and all of that, you know, like the case that we'll deal with earlier later today, you know, the issue of citizenship. You know, I'm saying that the security of this information is very important. I'm, in fact, of the view that, and JL is an area that we must look at, that we try and minimize as much as possible that the security of the state can be in the private consultants and all of that. That's an area that I think the colleague is trying to put across, right? But I'm very much happy myself of how you articulate the issues and at the level of Home Affairs, the knowledge part of it, you know. Mavuza has been in the system for quite some time. He understands what he's talking about. But it's for you now to really operationalize some of the issues that you said you are going to do. Because if you start to do that, then you minimize these problems that you are dealing with. Sometimes we are very good at planning, but when it comes to implementation, it becomes a very serious challenge. And the point is that sometimes you don't have capacity to implement. The plan is there, but the capacity to implement is not there. You know, so I think these are some of the areas that Honorable Kate was trying to. So your way forward generally
is the document that you have just been talking to. This becomes the way forward, which you have put yourself. These are things that you're going to do. Now I don't have timelines to measure you around this performance, right? But with your engagement with the committee, we may want to have some kind of a joint meeting at some point where we can call yourself to come together with the department, and that will get me, JL, the approach that we may want to take, so that we come and update us on this development. But what is important at the level of Home Affairs is for Home Affairs to come back to Parliament and say to Parliament that with all this aging infrastructure, this is a plan that we are now putting in place to deal with this challenge. It's a huge challenge of yours. You're now talking paperless, and we even call our minister Mr. Gigabyte. You know, we deal with solutions, yeah. But your aging infrastructure does not speak to you. It does not, right? At the same time as you move forward, you're now talking technology versus manual system. Even your manual system did not kick in when the systems were down. Did not. Right? So the risk that the Honorable Don Gumede was talking about, that how do you augment that? How do you make sure that the systems as they are there, when they collapse, this is the kind of intervention that you are putting in place? What interventions are you putting in place? At Home Affairs, for example, if everything goes dark, it means that nothing works. We don't have anything manual that can operate in place because we have just moved everything now to digital. So it means that everything then collapses. Right? You cannot even issue that certificate manually. You can't issue a birth manually. You can't do anything. So it means that the security and the backup of your systems must be put up. Because I think in principle we agree that this is downtime they happen. Right? Sometimes it's sabotage. We say it happens. So we accept that there must be sabotage, it happens. So this is what we must do when there's sabotage. We must protect the systems. That's where it starts. Protect them. So when it happens that they sort of collapse, it's because of a system failure, somewhere, not sabotage. National key point, and the point that we are making is that the state must take an interest, a very serious interest, in fact, not only the Department of Telecommunication and Home Affairs, the entire government must take an interest on this issue. Because if the entire government collapses today, what does it mean, DM, you know? So I thought that we'll even hear comments, not only at the level of the ministers. You can even hear comments from the president of the country. You may want to, I mean, the fact is that this thing affects the whole operations of government. The question I was asking you earlier is that, is this the only meeting that you are called to come and account? If so, then it means that somehow there are people who are not taking this matter serious. Because we expected to hear, even at the level of government communication, a comment around these issues, or some kind of an intervention. It cannot be just normal that, or if Hossein did not call Chauke, it means no one was going to care about this thing. Right? I'm now trying to appraise those same deputies because I was very hard on him earlier. So it means that we need to be proactive. And it's a call that we are making to government again. That the sooner they support CETA in its plan, together with the rest of other departments, to find solutions and new technology, the better we have a working government that can provide a service to the citizens of the country. The sooner they do that, the better. Because this call that Home Affairs is making is a call of frustration. And the DM put it very clear that, you know, in the Department of Home Affairs, of men and women who are so much committed to deliver service. And they sit there, and the client comes there, who happens to be a member of the public, comes there, and you can't help this person. How much is frustrating? So the call we are making in this portfolio committee today, this joint meeting, government must take serious of this issue. We are going to prepare a report. We'll make a recommendation. That will go to the National Assembly as we report. That's the only place where we report.
that we call on government to give support to CETA, because if they don't support CETA, nothing is going to work. You're going to have individual departments doing their own things. Correct, as you say now. No, SARS is doing well. We are happy about SARS. SARS is supposed to be part of the system of government information system. Why do you have a standalone department called SARS that sits there alone and proud itself that we have a better working system, rather than have a collective system that cater for the entire government? Right? It cannot be. It cannot be. So generally what you need to do will be that through both myself and the Comrade Masangu will then agree that you need to come back and give us an update. Firstly, on the investigation that you are doing around this issue that both we believe it may be a power failure, but it may be a sabotage. We need to go deeper and really investigate this matter. The point that Honorable Masangu makes, that there are certain individual or groupings that have an interest. If you want to collapse, just imagine on the eve of elections. Just imagine on the day of elections, the entire system does not work. What's going to happen? Right? So it's like you're running a... So therefore, we'll give you a month to come back to the joint meeting. We'll then deal with the details, both myself and from the jail, as to the day that we expect. But from now on, to a month that we'll have to come back. But you need to go and harmonize your relationship with the city with regard to the reliable supply of electricity. But in that engagement, include the ESCOM. Because, you see, you depend on the city. If someone sabotages the city, the entire country collapses. So you need to begin to engage with ESCOM and look at how best they can provide with reliable information, what's called a power. Same applies to telecom. So that's stakeholder meeting. These are issues that we must engage on. And then come back to us and said, we have engaged, we have looked at all stakeholders, and this is what we have agreed. The oversight in between that, all these departments, I think, all the Department of Government affected. Which department takes responsibility is your communication department. That must feed into all these departments. When the system collapses, it's not Home Affairs that must be the one that jumps first. If it's under CETA, we expect communication to be the one that will have jumped and communicated proper to the public. You know, so every blame will come to Home Affairs. Home Affairs systems are not working. Home Affairs is, you know, everybody calls you, but don't you know it. Every member that are here, they'll tell you how many calls you have received. Because it's Home Affairs, right? Because those who are supposed to take responsibility, they're not doing that. Home Affairs has done its best so far. They tried to resolve their challenges. I think from where it was to where it is today, it's better off. But it only gets disappointed because we don't have reliable CETA that provide the service that it must provide. That's a problem that must be addressed, right? At the same time, Home Affairs too now is supposed to have communicated proper. You do press conferences of Imbizo, of all of that, but when there are problems, you don't do proper communication. But if there's Imbizo there, you'll see that there's a big, in fact, you know, beautiful with cakes and all of that, that there's Imbizo today there, and everybody's happy. When there's a crisis, you don't see them coming out. So I want to encourage you to do that. Because if you don't inform members of the public in time, this thing happens 1 o'clock in the morning. By 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning, radio is supposed to have been flooded with information to inform the public. Please don't go to Home Affairs today because of the following. I have made one example about the people in Fenderstop that spend 50 rand to go to Potchefstroom Town to go and apply and come back, it's 100 rand. There's not even a single industry in Fenderstop. Nothing. It's just ordinary farm workers. Some of them have been laid off from the farms many years ago. So they must go and spend the last 100 rand to go and apply for an IT and go there and arrive there, nothing is working. You know? So we want to see that progressiveness from your side. Both sides, obviously, that you must be able to respond in time
and make sure that members of the public are informed. We represent the public when we are sitting here. So when you do the apologies, the public will only judge you by how you perform. Public is not going to judge you by apologizing. It's how you perform. That's how the public is going to judge you. And we cannot afford at this moment that when the country is moving forward, you know, with a positive message that we are putting across, and then we then get disappointed by failure to provide savings. It's the same as a corrupt municipality there. This is what is happening. You know. So CETA is very central to the security of the country and security of information of the country. Very central. So some policemen in the police department, I understand that they ran some system and he was threatening to close the system if he's not paid money. And I think you will pick up that conversation. So that these individuals who are holding pockets and pockets of information of the state, why would the state allow such thing to happen? Some former policeman controls the Department of Police. He says, I'm going to shut up if you don't pay me. And it's normal, it's fine. Hey, pay this man, it's fine. What kind of government that is run by individuals? You can't have that. So the information of the state, that is why this body was established, through an act of parliament, to manage and to control and to protect state information. And this is what must happen. And we want to see that demonstrated. As you come back to report to us, we want to see all those bodies responsible to talk to us and assure parliament that in fact we are in control of our systems. That's the only thing that we must do here. So on that note, I think the issues are noted, colleagues, and DM, really want to thank you very much for your time and the leadership that you have given around these issues. Honorable Twile, I understand he apologized and the letter was responded to by a parliamentary liaison person that says now our minister is busy with other national issues, important national issues. So tell the parliamentary officer next time I must not write such letters to this committee in particular, especially when it's chaired by me and Masandi. I think we are on record. We are well known about but I think therefore that there must be some kind of a communication that you must do after this meeting, acting DG, to approve. And I'm happy from the Home Affairs side, DM is here, so you will be able to take up these issues as they are raised by the committee with the minister together and really put your foot down and to assist the process. So that's where we'll end this engagement, colleagues, from now. We'll then communicate the next round of engagement. We'll then get the feedback from yourself, how you have dealt with that, and then what are the decisions, what are the results of your investigations and all of that. But the way forward that is clearly defined is the way forward. On that note, we want to thank you very much. And I think CSE, not acting now, we really want to appreciate your effort that you are putting there. I know it's not going to be easy. You are going to be attacked left and right, but continue, my brother. In the best interest of the country, we're going to do that. But fear no one, right? Because your mandate is simple, is to deliver for the state. Okay? So government appointed you to deliver for it. And please just do that without fear. Anyone that intimidates you, report to Maslan. Anyone that intimidates you, report to Maslan, will take it up. On that note, thank you very much, colleagues, on this note. Can we have a break for 5 minutes and then we'll come back and deal with the citizenship and the annual and the fourth quarter. Okay. Thank you very much.
We couldn't have advertised. I think all
No.
Okay. So tomorrow, it happens that top riding can be good here. But,
Yeah.